tonight's the night. And it's going to happen again and again. Has to happen.
Tell me a story.
See, we got blogs, we got podcasts. You know, the information won't stop. It comes in through your head, heats out your eyes, and it's all crap. You know? See, you gotta dare for greatness these days to get people's attention. Did I get yours?
Tell me a story.
Dreams die. No. No, no, no. Not by themselves. We kill them.
It's 90% bullshit. What is entertainment? Tell me a story.
What?
Tell me a story.
What?
Not tomorrow, not after breakfast. Now!
Arrogance.
You are shit. Y'all see what I'm tapping? Shut up! Because of my big mouth, I made this woman laugh.
You're an idiot.
Shut up. Hathui, what are you talking about? You're an idiot.
Fuck off.
Shut up!
Classy.
Yeah, that's right. I'm fucking funny. I'm fucking entertaining. Fuck you.
Alcoholism.
Kenny is a functioning alcoholic.
See, I have an alcohol issue. And
issue?
Yeah, it's an issue.
It's an issue.
It's I'm not a problem. It's just an issue. I'm my own kind of reckless disaster. I'm fucking German. I might be Jewish, too. But I was a fucking Jedi.
Kenny likes to drink.
I was drunk. Let's all go skinny dipping. My problem is, I don't have a problem. I work all day, I come home, I have a couple of drinks. It's psychologically bad for my penis.
Arrogance and alcoholism. The Conti and Kenny Show.
Here are some more people who ought to be smashed across the face repeatedly with a piece of heavy mining equipment.
The vision is renewed. The power is reawakened. The fear is reborn. Because they have returned. Because they have returned.
What's up, kids? What's going on? It is the Conti and Kenny Show, of course, live November 18th, 2013. I am your host, Joe Conti. Kenny is not with us tonight. Kenny's a businessman now. Oops. Kenny is a businessman now. So Kenny, he's out doing businessman things. And
selling drugs?
Well, doing them, selling them, oh. You know, whatever you want to call it.
Okay.
But he will definitely 100% be in studio next week. I promise you that. If not, he's fired. How about that? All right. The phone number, of course, we don't have the number right now. It's still just Skype, which is NPN Studios.
What happened to the number?
The number ran out, so we're going to have to get a new one.
You got to set up a donation PayPal thing.
Should we do that? Yeah. Like a Kickstarter so we can get a new phone number?
Yeah, you should.
It's just, yeah, I mean...
Cool donate button on contiandkenny.com.
Yeah?
We can hear the full 3 hours tonight. Yes.
Yes, exactly. The we broadcast in the non-productive studios in Clifton, New Jersey. And this is the first night where we're going to have our new hours, where basically we're still 7 to 10, but we're 7 to 9 on More Like Radio.
Ridiculous.
And then we are on ContiandKenny.com for the whole show. So you can go either place. If you want to go to ContiandKenny.com, you go in the chat room there. It'll say listen now, and then there's a chat room. You make up a screen name and then a password, and then you just punch in that screen name every time you want to go in there. Or you go to morelikeradio.com/live and go in there, but you only be in there till 9.
Right.
Then you either listen to Lust and Love, which is they're changing their times.
No, you switch over to
ContiandKenny.com. Oh, you switch over to us. Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, you know, it sounds confusing because I'm over-explaining. It's basically 7 to 10 on ContiandKenny.com.
Let's go there.
7 to 9 on morelikeradio.com. All right, people? Have I given you enough details?
I think so.
All right. We got two guests tonight, man. I'm great. I'm very happy that my old pal Johnny O is here.
Hello, hello.
Johnny O, the infamous Johnny O. Everybody, people who have never met you absolutely know you because of the show.
Really?
Because of all the clips we have.
Oh,
and
boy.
The... Neil, you've heard them too, the little remixes that were made.
Right, the guys from Holland.
From Copenhagen, yeah, they love you. But a lot of other people, they've always... in fact, somebody last week was like, "Who?" It was a guy that it took me 4 years to respond to an email from this guy.
Sounds like me.
Because it was a long story, but when I responded, the guy was like, "Really? You're emailing me back? I live in a different state now. My life is different." But he was a fan of the show. And now he's listening again, and one of his things is, who's the guy, you know, who's the guy Johnny O? Like, you know, what, and I'm trying to explain to him, you know, like, he's a friend of ours, he's a comic, you know, and that's, and but at least now he'll be able to, you know, listen to,
you know what? A buddy of mine just called me today, and he goes, I Googled Johnny O, it's a black comic from Chicago. And I was like, it's true, there's another Johnny O.
But there's also the singer Johnny O.
Yeah, Johnny O,
the club
Spanish
owner,
singer, right.
Yeah, the club, club singer from the 80s, but... it's a black comic from Chicago?
Yeah, but I heard his real name's Howard Wilson. So how the
hell
do you get
Johnny O?
Oh, what a phony.
From Howard Wilson. What's wrong with Howard Wilson?
I know.
And it's not even like he went
I guess Howie W was too hard to...
Yeah, I don't know. It's like, how do you... I can understand if he went, you know, I'm Tornado. You know what I mean? Because you know, a lot of black comics tend to give themselves, you know, like wacky names.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, the comedy of Authentic. And then he does Richard Pryor.
Yeah, so Johnny O is here, of course, and my other pal, Joe Coletta. Is that him?
Hey there. Yeah, that's him.
Cousin
He's
Joe.
He's a young dude.
Yeah.
Cousin Joe Coletta from the Cousin Joe Show.
Hello.
He is here hanging out because Kenny, of course, won't be in. He said he's going to try to call, but I don't think that's going to happen. So, and Mike might be in later on, Champagne Mike. But if not, it'll just be the three of us, man. We'll have a good time.
That's good enough.
I think so, right?
More than enough.
Agreed.
In fact, I'm leaving.
What have you been up to, bro?
I was out in Rochester 2 weeks ago in Artie Fletcher room, and that was nice. And you know,
good shows?
Yeah, but he always takes care of the, you know when you do Artie Fletcher room, it's like, you know, if you want a wedding cake sent to the room, you know, they take care of you. You know what I mean? It's like...
He probably makes them do that.
Yeah, but then the other end of the spectrum, I did a show for, it's my sister's husband's mother, lives down in Manahawkin.
Oh, the 55 and older thing. How did it go?
It went well, but it was well. I was a little leery.
Yeah, those shows can make you
Keith
a little freaked out.
Keith Carnevale, Rich Carucci, and me, and I was afraid that it was going to be, I didn't know if someone was going to drop the F-bomb and
they'd have to pull out
a defibrillator or something. But they were pretty cool. Can we say anything on this?
Yes.
You got to hear the joke. At the end of the show, you know how like you're just like, oh, well, that went well. And you're like, some old guy comes up to us. I don't know if this will translate on over the radio. He says, you guys weren't dirty enough. He goes, here's a good joke. And he starts telling us this joke. It was just me and Keith. Carucci had to leave. And the guy goes, this guy's fishing. And he turns around. And he sees a guy behind him fishing. And he keeps pulling something out of his bait box and smelling it, putting it on the hook, throwing it in. And all of a sudden, he catches a big-ass fish. And he's doing it, filling up, getting a ton of fish. And the guy finally says to him, he's watching him smell the thing, put it on the hook and throw it in. He goes, well, can I ask you, you know, what's your bait? I've been here for 4 hours without a bite. And the guy goes, he looks around, he goes, all right, here's the truth. He said, my brother-in-law owns a funeral parlor. And what we do is we cut off the labia or the pussy lips.
Sorry, that was gone.
Yeah. And then we, you know, but the fish, they've never seen that, been smelled, and they love it, you know, and they come out of nowhere. And the guy goes, well, why do you keep smelling? And he goes, well, I got to make sure they're fresh. And this is what he wanted us to tell. You know?
Don't you love that? Yeah. When they're like, no, you guys could have been way dirtier.
Exactly.
Yeah, but you're not the one running it. You're the one person, you know?
The show went well, but meanwhile, there was one old lady in the front that looked like, you know, Popeye sucking on a lemon, you know, just the whole show.
Yeah.
And I'm like, can you imagine if you told that joke to a great grandmother, you know? Ha ha, see? Because they cut off the labia, Mom, see?
Wait, so you were performing in like an old folks home? Is that
it wasn't old folks. That's what's scary. They're 55 and up, and I'm 4 years away. So no, no, but it was...
But the audience, I mean.
It was older people. Okay. But they were cool. She said, she's a hip lady, and she goes, we're not prudes. But I didn't want to tell them that, and then they would go overboard.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I had to do, 2 weeks ago, I had to do a gig. It was a fundraiser, and it was in a like an auditorium. In a church, but it's not in the church.
Right.
But, you know, it's in a church auditorium, which...
The lectern hall.
Yeah, I've done gigs there where you could just do whatever you want because it's not in the church. You know what I mean? But this one, we had to be extremely clean. And how clean? There were 6 nuns in the audience. So now...
Was there a bleeding Jesus on the wall, too?
Believe me, I've been with one where Jesus, it looked like the actual Christ was behind me. But where you're on a stage, like one of those auditoriums where they would have plays for kids.
Yeah.
So it's a big stage. So I'm hosting the show, and... 2 other guys on the show. So, you know what your job is to host, to get them going and then do some jokes. So I do my thing. I do about 20 minutes and I'm walking back towards the back and on the right side against the wall. And then there's the row, you know, of tables, and the table of nuns are in the back one against there. So basically when I'm walking by them, I'm literally walking right by the table of nuns.
Yeah.
And as I'm walking by, the one nun leans back and goes like this and fucking high-fives me.
Oh, good.
I got high-fived by a nun. I don't know if that was a high point or a low point in my comedy career, but she high-fived me.
She was checking for ruler marks.
Seeing if there's any rosary bead marks.
It sounds like both of you guys are doing good in stand-up. You're both playing Mingo Halls.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what we're doing. You know, we're opening up for Levy. That's what you do. When you open up for Levy, you do bingo halls and firehouses. That's what happens.
Steamroller is notorious for the firehouses,
yeah. What's amazing is that they're usually great gigs, and they're good money.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they don't help you in a sense where, you know, you're getting...
You get word of mouth, you know, somebody, I don't know.
That's all it is.
These are people that will never go to a comedy club, though, but you got to come to them, you know, and then, you know.
Which is a little disheartening, because when you do a show like that, like if you're out in the middle of Pennsylvania, and it's people that have never been to a comedy show, they know nothing, you could be sitting there working with the biggest... Hackasaurus,
and they're like,
and they're going
he's
ballistic.
This guy's
they're going nuts.
Did you hear what he said about airline food?
And you're going nuts because you're like, and you can't, you don't fault them because they don't know.
They're just not fans of comedy.
They're not. They don't really get it. That oh my god, they're doing a joke that's been done over and over for the last 30 years.
Right.
So it's a little disheartening, but you know what? It's okay because I'll be honest. I don't mind. Not doing great every time. I swear to God, I don't mind. Because you know what? If you do great every single time you're up there, you're doing something wrong.
Right.
It don't mean you have to walk an audience. I'm not saying you have to, you know, make people get up and leave. But if you're making every single person, like, happy, then you're not doing anything that's...
Oh, so you're not talking about bombing, right?
No, I'm not talking about bombing, but I'm saying, you know what? You don't want to do fantastic every time because then you're not doing anything different or irreverent or even taking a chance.
Doesn't keep you on your toes, as
they
say?
Yeah, I would think so. You know, I mean, but now in the world we live in where everything is about language, you know, it's almost like now, like I do a joke. It's not even a joke. It's just like a one-liner thing where I mention Jesus. I say nothing at all disparaging about Jesus at all. Not because I didn't want to. It's just not the joke.
Mm-hmm.
people will still ooh.
Yep.
I'm like, you're ooing because you heard the word Jesus.
Yeah,
it's all
like,
in the air.
It's like a jolt reaction, you know.
I used to do a joke where I don't even do it anymore because people don't even. And I don't know, maybe it's not funny, but it's more of a clever thought in this whole list of all these clever thoughts or thoughts that I have. And it got to a point where people were getting mad at this one, and it's a play on words where I go. Is the true definition of a pedophile someone who likes getting their toenails cleaned by little children, right? It's a play on fucking words. And people are like, oh. I'm like, what did you all about? Did I say, hey, some kid got fucked and we all laughed? You know what I mean? It's like.
Same exact. Did you hear the story? It was on the news real quick. Right around Halloween.
No, real quick. We got 3 hours,
okay,
bro. Take
no, but they had a. They had a. These two girls were dressed up on Halloween as the Twin Towers.
The Twin Towers, we talked.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
just bringing that up, you got that, whoa, one of those. It was one guy, but I was like, I didn't even finish.
Yeah, what do you think? I'm going to sit there and...
Yeah, I'm going to cheer these people. It's like, I know my joke was, I said, I wish I was at that party. I said, I'd like to have dressed up as a dead Princess Diana with a steering wheel stuck to my head, see how they react, and just,
good point, because they were British.
Yeah,
right.
They're British. I said, what's in their water over there? It sure ain't fluoride. Here.
Yeah, we were talking about that last week, and I'm torn when it comes to that with Halloween costumes. Only torn in the fact where, do people lose their jobs because of a dumb Halloween thing?
Yeah, but it could show up on Facebook, right? And then...
That's the thing.
That's the issue.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, where is, I don't know too many Americans that are okay with two British girls dressing up like the Twin Towers.
See, this is where it gets weird. you can still look. The 50s had a TV show called Amos and Andy.
Of course. Yes.
And the original was two white guys doing it on the radio. Then they cast it with all blacks. And it's a very funny show. And it's classic, but... Mm-hmm. There's something about blackface that you're not allowed to do it at all,
Yeah, it's weird.
Like, did you hear? It's like Holland or something. They have Black Pete. He's one of the guys that supposedly works for Santa Claus. He's got a different name than Santa. It's
okay.
Like Santa Claus, and it's Black Pete, but it's usually a white guy with a black face with red lips that has the toys for the kids.
Okay.
And now people, and it's been like a 300-year tradition.
Right.
And instead of little elves, like we have, he has these henchmen,
Get out of here. No, so it's the complete opposite.
But he's called Black Pete, but he's a lovable figure.
Right.
Bringing toys and everything. So when he shows up, there's people protesting, There's always got to be the political police going, no. It's a 300-year tradition,
Yeah, we fail to recognize the difference between something goofing and having a good time with it and being completely and utterly hateful.
Yeah. Here's the other thing, dude.
We've lost that.
Here's the other thing you mentioned just a minute ago about, the Twin Towers girls? Whether you're okay with it or not being funny.
Hold on. My problem was they were teenagers, but they won. They won the freaking contest.
They won a competition.
And it was a huge party. It looked like it was at a casino or something.
Yeah, nice. But nothing, no matter what my opinion was, nothing would compel me to call their boss and say, hey,
right.
Look at this. You got to fire them.
Yeah.
That's
you got to be.
Hold on. Dave Cyrus. Dave, if you want to Skype in real quick, it's NPN Studios. He said that that Black Pete, it's supposed to be Santa's slave. It's a tradition.
It is a slave.
It's a tradition from the era
slavery. I take it back. Sorry about
some tradition.
Thank you, Dave, for completely crushing my defense here.
Dave Cyrus, whose movie, he just finished it, called Archie Black. I don't know exactly the subtitle, but like the worst comedian in the world.
Right.
Like the worst comic.
Right.
And
so like the Ed Wood of comedy?
It's
still
documentary.
Out in LA, right?
Yeah. But what happened was he's got Otto, Jay Moore, Jim Norton, a bunch of other comedians out in L.A., and it's all everybody telling these stories
about a fictional guy named.
But what happens is it's pretty much guys are telling real. They're telling like real stories.
And it's
this guy.
That's great.
Okay. So I don't know if my part is in, but there was a part where I was ranting about a certain comic that I don't like, except I would change the name.
And you won't say it now, no.
No, it's not who you think it is. The guy with my name. Okay. No, but it's somebody else. And I
he just gave it away.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's not John Conti. No, I don't really have a. Oh, he sent a. Hold on, let me.
Stuart in the chat is saying Johnny O sounds like James Woods.
Really,
James Woods.
That's what they're saying. I kind of a little bit pick up on that.
Yeah, I don't know. Mm. I'm not sure. I'm trying to think of when I think of James Woods, I think of Casino and now Family Guy.
I think of a reptile.
Hang on, let's get Dave here. What's up, Dave?
Hey,
how you doing, pal?
It's my favorite people. How we doing,
Dave Cyrus? How are you, brother?
Hi, Dave. I think we're Twitter friends. That's the extent of our relationship. How are you?
We are friends. We had a beautiful moment.
We did.
I was there. So, So Black Pete. You misunderstood me, Johnny O. I was saying he's supposed to be sent a slave, and that's why I think they should keep him.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but you know, so are the elves. What the hell? They're like, they got to be minimum wage workers, right?
Yeah, I don't see them, you know, living
in
mansions.
North Pole. Yeah.
Correct. Yes. But yeah, Black Pete. You know, the story of Black Pete very simply is Santa gives you gifts if you're good, but if you're bad, Black Pete kidnaps you.
Oh. So he takes that punishment to another level.
But this thing they showed was Black Pete throwing out candy at a function.
Well, it's a different day. It's a different day and age we live in now.
Okay.
You can't have Black Pete putting children in a sack anymore.
My question is because they don't want to show Santa yet. So you know what I mean? Like, oh, that's Santa's helper, you know?
Okay.
The Negro that will kidnap you. He's the one giving out the candy.
Yes.
Hey, now, Dave.
You know, it reminds me of the whole thing about the Redskins.
Yes.
Because, like, with the Redskins thing, my attitude is two ways. One, the word Redskin, I don't, as far as I knew, wasn't really the N-word of Indians. It was more like the colored of Indians. So I think people shouldn't be jumping to that. But at the same time, there's not a single thing in the world that you can use the excuse it's a tradition to explain, because if the tradition goes back to, because the tradition goes back to when we called them savages.
Yeah.
Well, right. If it's a tradition, but it's a tradition when it started, it wasn't like a fun thing. It was, you know, oppressing people. You can't continue to say, well, that was a tradition, we got to keep it. Slavery was a tradition.
Yeah.
You know,
you're
we can keep that. You know?
You know what? The only time it nailed me was when, you remember when the St. John's changed to the Red Storm? They were the Red Men.
My high school, we were the Parsippany Redskins.
Okay.
Now they're the Parsippany Red Hawks.
Oh, Red Hawks.
They've been the Red Hawks for at least 10 or 12 years.
Yeah, that blew by me because I was like, why are they the Storm? Oh, it's politically incorrect. Oh, okay.
And let me say something about that. I think that, like, if Indians are offended that they're being called Redskins, that's a reasonable thing to be offended by if they don't want to be, because, you know, you shouldn't be, you know, you should allow people to complain when, you know, it's their ethnic group that you're making a team out of. Now, people say on the other side of that, well, look at the Notre Dame Fighting Irish.
Exactly,
why are the Irish offended by this? The answer to that is, it's that you can't punish the Indians because the Irish are somehow okay with the fact that we all associate them as being violent drunks. It's not just because the Irish are like, yeah, absolutely, call us a bunch of fighting drunks, that the Indians have a responsibility to agree with that.
Yeah, and I think, you know what's weird? I think there are more white people that are trying to be, you know, we have this over-the-top political correctness that are more upset with Redskins than you have Native Americans. Now, if Native Americans came out and said, look, we don't dig this anymore, I don't know why the Cleveland Indians don't have more of an issue, only because of the dumb
mascot,
that dumb Wahoo guy,
Chief Wahoo
with a big dopey smile.
He's got the big snaz, and he's got the, you know.
Because Indian, there's nothing wrong with the word Indian, but they have this guy, and he is a dopey.
Yeah.
It's almost like if you would have an old black face character with lips and big eyes, you know, bug out eyes.
Chief Bojangles.
Yes, it would be. That's my deal where, all right, Redskin, I get it. If enough of them listen, Indians right now are either hammered somewhere or they own a casino.
That's right.
I don't think they give a shit, but we have too many of these uber liberal white people that are trying to dictate what other people feel. You know, it's like, listen, most liberal white people are the ones saying blacks shouldn't call each other nigga. It's like, you know what? Don't tell black people what they should call themselves.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think that if you're going to complain about the name Redskins, you better not own any fucking sunblock. You better be fucking a straight-haired Redskin.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the only requirement. If it's the Indians complaining, fine, let them have it. But you're absolutely right. I don't want to hear anyone who's not an Indian.
You know what bothers me? We're supposed to be a great melting pot, and as time goes on, you're supposed to act like we're all, you know, there's no difference. But there is a difference. You're supposed to take pride in your
thing.
There's nothing wrong with the skyscrapers? Indians. They have ridiculous balance. They can walk on a 5-inch beam.
Really?
You know, at 15 stories. Yeah, they built all the...
Do they have an extra bone in their ankle?
No, but they have ridiculous balance. But by the same token, they cannot drink. It's a known fact. Indians...
That's genetic, yeah.
You know, it's they say, don't give them fire water. You know, two drinks and they want to kill somebody. It's the truth. So, I mean, but you're not allowed to say that, but it's the truth.
Even Indians will talk about that. Certain ethnicities have a genetic predisposition for dependence on alcohol. And, I mean, believe me, there's not a lot of Indians denying that. They're saying that it's not, you know, it doesn't make them morally inferior, but I think Indians are aware at this point, you really don't want to get them started drinking.
It's true.
Irish people have a tendency to get addicted to alcohol.
Yeah, but they're happier. They they sing and dance. They don't try to scalp your daughter.
The scalping was more us to them.
That's true. The French brought the scalping.
Yeah, exactly right.
Because you had to show your kills.
Oh, okay. Hey, Dave, why don't you definitely talk about your movie, man. Looking forward to seeing this.
Yeah, and I'll be in studio in 2 weeks from today.
Okay.
I'll be able to bring DVDs for everybody, and I have a private link that that'll be available because I'm putting into a bunch of festivals, so we can't release it yet.
Email me the link when it's out?
Yeah, I'll email it to you today, right now. So basically, it's a one-hour movie starring some of the best comedians in the world, Jim Norton, Jay Mohr, Rick Overton, Rick Shapiro. Obviously, Joe, you made it. The scene that you did about another comedian did not make it into the final cut, but I had to cut so many scenes that we're going to be making a separate Too Dirty for the Movie.
Oh, cool.
Extra that's going to have all those other things too.
Great.
So that's going to, so we'll have that for you. But you are in the movie like twice.
Oh, okay. Awesome.
Three times, actually. You're in three times. You are in the opening montage. You do one of the jokes that I fed you. And then we have the exchange between you and Kenny talking about, the $10 bill and how we would, and Kenny tells a different story. And when I had a premiere for the movie,
yes,
like 50 people, a lot of comedians, Rick Overton went, he had some good advice.
Very
for the movie
cool.
too. And, I introduced the movie and I said, the best part about this movie is that several of the stories people are telling are true stories about other comedians. And at least three times in this movie, a person is telling a story that's actually about a comedian
and
who's
said
also
the name
in the movie.
Oh, wow.
That's
funny.
That's great.
And I'll tell you, it's some of the biggest names in the movie are the people that certain of these scenes are based on.
Nice. How many hours did you spend editing Rick Shapiro's sentences?
Man, I did. Rick Shapiro basically.
I love Rick Shapiro. He calls into my show sometimes. I'm joking, but sorry.
Yeah, he did like 40 straight minutes, and I have a lot of him, and I kind of use him to kind of hold part of the movie together because I felt like while there's a lot of jokes in it, with Rick, you can clearly see he is ranting about a real person that he just wants to get off his chest.
Yeah.
Who is also in the movie.
I have a feeling. I have a feeling I know who it is.
So I think you'll be able to figure out if you did your comedy who he's talking about.
Yeah, I have a feeling.
And I didn't know this until after I filmed the thing, which was so amazing for me. Like, at one point, his scene came right after the person who he was talking about.
Well, cat's out of the bag.
Well, no, I changed the order.
Okay.
I have to check to see if that's even true, but no, I mean it was pretty funny to find out later. And I mean, there's another guy who you guys know very well, who I later, much later, found out a story from the movie was based on him. I'll tell you guys off air, but you'll also know the story.
But the idea is he's hated by other comedians, right?
Yeah, sorry to get off topic. But basically, I just told all these comedians, this is the worst comedian and human being who ever lived. It's called Archie Black, the worst. We're going to put into all the festivals right now. And it just gives all these comedians the opportunity to just spew the brilliant hatred that they have about somebody and put it on this fictional character. I mean, Artie Lang's story is clearly somebody. Jim Norton's story is clearly somebody. I know Otto's story is a kind of a famous story that comedians know about Pips. He uses that story.
Yep.
There's a famous story about a comedian who kind of lied his way into Pips that he used. Pete Davidson has a thing that is a very – is one of his things is a very specifically thing that actually happened to him. And but that's only a small part of the movie. Most of it is just ridiculous, surreal, over-the-top stories. And someone actually brought this up to me. It's kind of similar to the old SNL sketch, Bill Brasky.
Do you remember that sketch? Right, yeah. The three businessmen like, drunk on Bill Brasky. And they just keep inflating – what a great guy. Like, he used to.
Okay. Yeah,
Bill
Brasky
would eat a young calf liver straight out of the cow. You know, like.
Yeah, exactly. Bill Brasky once punched a hole in a cow just so he could see who was coming up the road. Yeah. So, like, my movie is like the opposite of that. He's such a piece of shit that blank. He's now such a bad person.
You also have a guy playing Archie Black. Yeah.
Stephen Alan Green plays Archie Black, and the reason he plays it is because other comedians kept saying, oh, you know who would be perfect for this part? Stephen Alan Green. Now, I thought they meant because he was a good actor. I was wrong. They wanted to play him because he has the same reputation as Archie Black. The only difference is Archie Black never got banned from a comedy club for calling what he thought was a patron but was actually the owner of the club, the N-word.
Oh, no. Jesus. Oh.
Wow. Holy, I didn't realize the guy was a comic. I thought he was just an actor.
Oh, no, he's a comic.
Oh, that's
when I remember Judah Friedlander, who didn't do the movie, but I talked to about the movie. When I told him that Steven was playing the part, he was like, of course he is. He is this guy. Why did you even bother changing his name?
That's
actually
awesome.
I want to tell you guys real quick this idea I just had, because this movie I think will be popular, but I can't really, you know, it's not going to be the kind of thing you can sell on Netflix because of, you know, there's different factors involved legally in terms of union. But I really think that I could do more of these and start doing a series. And I think what I should do is take this idea of a surreal mockumentary and actually do it about a real person. Because imagine if I took this movie, this really funny movie, and went to someone like Gilbert Godfrey and said, I want to do a documentary on Gilbert Godfrey that people will watch. And for the first 10 minutes, you'll think is actually a documentary, and then descend into this expose about all these horrible, hideous crimes you've committed and all these weird things that you, and by the end of the movie, it's just this completely fabricated attack video that you are part of.
I kind of like it. It would be like, it would start off slow, crescendo, and then come back down again. So it kind of takes on that, hey, this is okay. What the hell's going on? And then, oh, okay, we get it.
It's sort of like, did I ever tell you about the movie Confederate States of America?
No.
It's a British documentary that takes place in modern day in a world where the South won the Civil War.
Oh, I've heard of this. Yeah, yeah.
And they have slaves in commercials on TV. And the great thing about this movie is when you're watching it, the first 10 minutes seems like an actual Civil War documentary until the part where Jen Lee defeats the Union and Abraham Lincoln escapes in the Underground Railroad until he's finally literally tarred and feathered and by the Confederate Army. And like, if you're watching this stoned in the middle of the night, you're going to be like, wait, did that happen?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's great.
So where can people go to check out your film that's coming out, dude?
They cannot. They cannot.
Not even
that.
On a website? You're not going to have it, like, you know, down?
No, I can't, because for all the festivals, you have to have it be unreleased.
How about a trailer?
You could see a trailer at ArchieBlackMovie.com.
So I'm assuming after the festivals you can have it released yourself?
Yes.
Or, okay.
After the festivals, if I get an actual distribution deal, I might do that. Otherwise, I'm probably just going to release it online in pieces.
Right.
I think that might be the best way to go and the way I can make the most, you know, money, really.
Yeah, of course.
Ads on 15 different short videos, like at, like 3 minutes each, the way people actually want videos right. to be.
And I'm also available for your next film project if you have any.
I would love to have you in the next one.
Oh, thank you so much.
I'll drive him.
I'll say I felt really bad because I had to cut a lot of friends of mine from this movie, so I will be putting out all their stuff because I, like Max, you know, I love Max Lorenzi, and I had no choice. I had to cut the stuff that I shot with him, and I shot three separate times with him. And I still ended up cutting it. I feel horrible about that. So I owe him a lot.
That's okay, man. You know, it's you know, you're doing what you think is best, and you know, nobody should take it personally. You know?
Yeah, edit it tight. Otherwise, you don't want to. You know,
I mean, Bob Levy did half hour of straight comedy for this movie, and I think I ended up keeping about 15 seconds.
Well, again, if you get like rights to it after the film festival, which you should have, just have that, but as like bonus material. On a DVD or
yeah, on a DVD.
Yeah, I love that aspect of it.
Any good stuff, put on the DVD.
Yeah, that's all.
And Bob was great. It was just one of those things where it's like when you're looking at this movie, you really have to take a hard look and cut a lot of stuff, mostly because stuff contradicts other stuff. Like a lot of people had jokes that like other people had already kind of spoiled. For example, I had to cut a lot of black people out of this movie because every single one of them just threatened to kill the guy. I had so many great comedians, shocking. But they all went to the same thing. I'm gonna find you, motherfucker! And I was just like, I can't use this.
Yeah, you don't want to be the
so black
the same
people
thing
took like the violent route. That's really
wow.
I had no idea.
Shocking.
I'm kidding. A lot of white guys did it too, but you know.
All right, man. Oh, that's
but
great.
I feel like it, Kenny, I finally found the tape I took of Kenny, and I was able to include it.
Oh, that's great. I can't wait to see it, man. I'm actually gonna go. I'm gonna watch the. I didn't know you had it out on the trailer. I didn't know you had the trailer out yet. So
Archie Black movies, the trailer from like a year ago from the earlier scenes, because I had to go on hold while Matt got, you know, Artie Lang, Dee Snider, Franz Cassius, you know, Craig, all, you know, Robin Fox, who actually did a great job. So I had to just, that's why I was on hold for so long. And now we got to wait till like spring when all the festivals happen because that's because they wanted to be able to say they're premiering the movie.
Right.
So, you know, it's a lot of work. We might, you know, but yeah, I'm really excited about it. I'm finally done and I'm working on a cartoon now, but yeah, we're really excited. And, you know, Otto was amazing. You know, I can't wait for people to see the stuff Otto and George did for this.
That's great.
I'm really fucking finally, guys.
It's awesome. I'm so excited for this. I can't wait to actually get to see it and to see the final the finished product and everybody on there. And it's going to be great. I'm looking forward to it, especially because I know what that guy looks like.
Yeah, and just to say, I had the premiere. I will say that the premiere was really good. The crowd like continued laughing the whole movie. Biggest laugh was Jim Norton.
Really?
When you see what and the joke that they laughed at the most is on the trailer. So you'll see Jim Norton was, I mean, unbelievable. As an actor, I was incredibly impressed with him. He's the best part of this movie.
That's was crazy. The audience all comics or was there other people?
Half and half.
Yeah.
That's
comics
awesome.
And people I know and people who just
it's not too know, inside though, is it? Will people laugh or
It's not really inside at all.
Oh, people laugh.
If you're a fan of comedy, you'll like it. But it's more like anyone who liked The Aristocrats, anyone who likes to watch a roast will enjoy this movie.
Good. Sounds
great.
Good.
All right, bro.
Hey, wait.
I'm sorry because we're going
to What's
take a
your
break.
Twitter so people can follow you for updates?
Oh, Brickstone News.
Brickstone News.
Yeah. That's my Twitter.
Yeah, and go to his website, GodHatesBrickstone.com.
That's hilarious clips on there.
Yeah, and if you're not a fan of the Westboro Baptist Church, who is? You can go on GodHatesBrickstone.com and watch Dave's classic videos of him interviewing the Westboro Baptist Church and just making them look like complete buffoons. Not every time.
Speaking of which, before I go, I want to tell you, I had an idea today for a new video that I'm going to be doing, and I'm actually going to go to a spy store right now because I need to get a hidden camera, like one of those eyeglasses hidden cameras for this. Are you guys familiar with the anti-abortion clinics called the Pregnancy Crisis Centers?
No.
No.
Every abortion clinic has a crisis pregnancy center next to it that pretends to be an abortion clinic and then just tries to convince people not to get abortions. And they even go as far as to pretend that they are an abortion clinic and then tell you, oh, no, you can't have one.
Well, I'm sorry to be literal, but obviously it's not every abortion clinic. Like, how – is this really a big thing? Like, is this – I never heard of this.
There are five times as many crisis pregnancy centers as there are abortion clinics in America.
What the fuck?
Wow.
But they're concentrated in certain states, right? Where the
Every abortion clinic in America. I'm not going to say every. As far as I've been able to find so far, every abortion clinic in America has at least one crisis pregnancy center that has been set up to pose as it.
Wow.
To trick women into coming to there instead. So me and a girl are going to get a hidden camera, go in there. Get them to say a bunch of lies, and then probably say something along the lines of that this is an immaculate conception, and that's why we want to abort it because we're atheists.
So I guess they do the old catch 22 inches long by 16 pounds.
You rape them, we scrape them. No fetus can beat us.
Yeah, no fetus can beat us. That's
right. You heard it here first. This is where your fucking church dollars are going. We leave $5 in a little collection plate.
Yeah.
Yeah, it goes to going fake, to a facility yeah, that is fake abortion to people clinics. To
Dave, who's pushing it? Is it just it's not Catholic, it's who is it?
It's not necessarily some are Catholic, some are different kinds of Christian. Various different Christian organizations put money into this. A lot of born agains.
Right.
Basically they're just putting a lot of money in this. Yeah, you're right. This is like what people give money to at the church. Those churches give money to these organizations where some of them, but basically they're claiming that they're going to get prenatal care. All they are there is to say, not only, and I looked into this, not only they tell them not to get abortions, they're telling women don't take the pill, condoms can cause AIDS.
Right. And they're tricking people into thinking this is legitimate. Yeah, like, that's great, fucking isn't disgusting.
It? Nice.
And I want to go in there and make their lives hell.
Nice. Good. That's what Dave does.
Awesome. And you have the hidden camera. Dave, I saw some of that stuff at Westboro, but that you had a camera crew, right? They knew they were on?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, they knew they were being filmed.
Right.
Because they're in a public place. They're publicly displaying themselves.
Right.
Whereas this – and because originally I wanted to just go to abortion clinics and just fuck with the protesters. But then I was like, screw that. Go straight to the place where we sit down and they just start lying.
Yeah, because absolutely.
They're going to start saying stuff like, if you have an abortion now, you'll never be out of kids. Basically, you're talking about people who are going to – because there have been cases where women thought they had appointments to get abortions. They show up, the person says, oh no, the blood test said you can't get it.
Yep.
Or you have to come back in 3 weeks.
Wow.
And then when you come back in 3 weeks, they say the doctor's not here, come back in 3 weeks, just trying to stall until you
can't
get it.
How is that a legal operation? How the fuck can they?
It's fucking legal.
How? I mean, aren't they pretending to be doctors if they're giving false?
Well, they probably are doctors. They probably are.
But if they're lying about the results, that's like, how the fuck?
Yeah, well, I mean, they're right now they're getting away with it. So I'd like to get involved
in
the business.
You're going to bring awareness to it, Dave.
Yeah.
I applaud you for that.
That and autism.
No one
cares.
I'm just kidding.
What the hell was that?
Because everything's all about giving awareness. Let's bring awareness to autism. We all know about autism, all right?
Well, that is why I'm also going out and trying to stop children from getting vaccinations. Because, of course, that causes autism. So I'm going to doctor's offices with signs that says, the flu shot will make your kid retarded. Because I want to just help the world.
Jenny nice, McCarthy Dave. For president.
Nice.
Yes. Jenny McCarthy is honestly the only qualified doctor in America.
Because she has a kid with autism.
So oh, but she cured him. Haven't you heard?
There's so many different things you can do for autism. You know, I mean, they say that there's a thing with horses. You keep a kid and you bring a kid around horses, and there's something with horses that help.
The horses kick the kid in the back of the head, kills him,
yeah,
and problem
that's what
solved.
It was. Right, knocks the autism right out of him. No, they say that there's something with horses. If you have your kids, if you can have a horse farm and go and have your kids hang around and ride on horses, it helps with autism. Who knows? I mean, there's so many different things that could be said for every type of problem or disease. Right.
Sum it up, what Conti's saying is fuck the retards. On the Conti Kenny Show.
Autistic kids are not retarded, dummy.
I know.
There's different levels of autism.
Of course, there's
many different.
Yeah, there's the Asperger's, which is a different type of autism. Listen, all autism is it's a social disorder.
Weird, yes.
It's a social disorder, and that's
you know what? It's like where. was there was no autism like 4 years ago, was there?
No, I was in high school. There was being weird.
But in grammar school, you always had that one kid that was known for going outside at lunch and eating bugs. That was the kid, you know what I mean? Yeah. But now it's autism. You know?
Well, I mean, there are studies that show that there are kids that have
they're predisposed for it.
Yeah,
right?
and then there's something in the brain where the social graces, they just don't have. And that's my theory, is that's why most kids who are autistic they're so smart when it comes to numbers and all that, because the social part of their brain, we use the social part of our brain in every second of our lives. You know, hello?
So they dominate more time on other things.
Exactly. Whether, so like, they're using it in other parts of their brain.
It's more complex than that, because even babies, one of the ways they will test a baby for autism is giving them a complicated puzzle. And if the baby does too well with the puzzle, they're autistic.
Right.
Because their brains are just wired differently.
Wow.
It's like their brains are just designed. It's a mistake with how the brain develops, because their autistic kids are too smart to be human beings, basically, in certain ways.
Is that true? All autistic kids are smarter?
Not all, but
they're like savants?
A lot of them are, yeah. I mean, depending on how severe the autism. But I always think, because that's, you know, the social aspect of their lives is kind of crippled to where they flourish in these other parts of their lives because they use that part of the brain. Like Dave said, you know, a kid who might be autistic might just take the test and where maybe just a regular kid is doing it, but he's also, he wants to go outside and he wants to do this and he wants to play or he just wants to crawl away.
I don't think being socially awkward is synonymous with being autistic.
No, but it's social. It doesn't mean if you're socially awkward, it means you're autistic. But
otherwise, I'd be autistic.
No, but truly autistic, that's why you see autistic kids who don't speak until they're 12 or 13 sometimes. Mm-hmm. Or if they do, it's very limited, because that's the communication, social part of the brain that's kind of, I don't know, short-circuited or whatnot.
A lot of people have very basic, very simple, you know, not serious autism that just makes them seem kind of weird.
Yeah.
When Richie Incognito was describing Jonathan Martin and why he thought he had a problem, he was describing a mildly autistic person. Doesn't look people in the eye. Doesn't get normal social interaction.
Right.
Jonathan Martin is displaying trademark mild autism.
Yeah, probably. I mean, if you think about it, social. They said, hey, you know what? When he was talking to Incognito, look, it's not you. It's the locker room. I just couldn't take the locker room culture. So even though he's a football player, he just wasn't down with what football players were doing. That type of culture, the language. He just wasn't into it. It wasn't his thing. He couldn't respond to it. And maybe there's a smidge of autism there, where he just couldn't socially get in with the group. And he was like, fuck this, I'm leaving it. Plus, he's a really smart dude anyway. You know?
When you hear somebody say, he won't look me in the eye, what's wrong with him? That is one of the most trademark autism signals.
Yeah.
Or if you're on a date with me.
Yeah.
But again, that's also the trademark symbol of social awkwardness,
to an extreme level, exactly. So it's what we're saying, where, hey, you know what?
Okay, so
there's being socially awkward, and then there's taking it to that.
Where you can't even look someone in the eye. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
So. All right, man. So it's great. We went from,
Santa
slavery.
We were all over the map there.
We went Santa slavery.
I want to hear what
Archie
Dave
Black
has to say about this. We just were touching on it. Dave, that story just kept peeling like an onion, didn't it? The Incognito and Martin. It was like, first you thought, oh, this guy's
first
a jerk.
First you thought he was a jerk.
He's a bully.
And then you
all of a sudden you're like, why is, you know, and then of course the record was 0-6 when he left, right?
No. They were like... They're 4-5 now.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, but
they were lost like four games though. They weren't doing well.
No, they're not that. You know, they're an average team.
Right, but the point is,
Incognito story was all the people who probably never watched a football game in their lives looking at Incognito like he was some kind of
and he does
monster.
Look like a poster
monster.
Boy. Yeah, yeah.
And not every locker room.
Yeah, because you know what? If Incognito was truly this over the top, racist, mean guy,
You're telling me out of the 53 guys in that locker room, with all the black guys in that locker room, not one guy would have been like, yo, this motherfucker, like, fuck you.
Haven't you guys heard of, this is the latest I heard on it like a week ago. He was told by whoever to toughen that kid
up. Well, yeah, they
there's also
the
that too.
Yeah, you had the coaches supposed to be involved.
But all of that comes around to saying, hey, you know what? It just sounds like this guy, Martin, wasn't down with it. And you know what? I will blame Incognito to go, hey, you know what?
No, he went overboard.
If you're supposed to be a leader, you're supposed to be able to tell, hey, you know what? This guy here, I can really ride this guy. This guy, that's what coaching is.
Right.
This guy, I got to put my arm around.
But if you watch like the pregame last Sunday and Shannon Sharpe went off going, you know, or it was 2 weeks ago whenever the story broke and he said, you know, nobody gets a license. You know, they said he was an honorary black guy and they said, no, nobody's got that and you can't use that word, blah, blah, blah. And what it all came down to, all of a sudden the race is in it. But all it really is the football, that happens all the time. Trying to get somebody, you know, they go, hey, toughen that guy up, whatever. And it just went completely wrong. This guy's like third generation. His great-grandfather went to Harvard. You know what I mean? He's not this typical, you know, brother that was on a hard Scrabble street. That was, you know,
absolutely,
made it to the NFL.
Which I think was another reason
he had options. And he was like, you know what? Screw this. You know, I ain't paying $15,000 for a dinner and I'm not going because I'm socially awkward. You know, it's like, whatever.
Everyone ignores the very ugly truth and all these people who don't know sports culture ignoring it. There are a lot of white people who used the N-word with their black friends.
Yes, that's true.
Because they got used to their black friends calling them that. And look, I wouldn't do it. When I hear my brother say it, I say, don't ever do that in front of me. I don't care if your friends let you say it. You're going to say it the wrong time at some point. Somebody's going to kill you.
And obviously, and I feel weird having to clarify this. Sorry, but when you say that, you, of course, mean the GGA, not ER.
No. Or ER.
Well,
or
sometimes.
ER, right?
But I think, look, if you're a white person and you want to say nigger to
I just
a black guy, you're just
toxic.
An idiot. So I think what we're talking about is, in other words, white guys using it towards black guys the way black guys use it towards black guys. But what we're saying is that when it comes to football or when it comes to anything, look, if you go into the hood and you see Spanish guys and other white guys and they all talk to each other, they all use that. Why? Because they all feel like they're part of the same group. They feel like they're brothers. Same with the locker room. They're brothers. They're on the same team.
I don't know if it's all over the country, but the East Coast, you know, they call them the Wiggers. It's a long story, but I was in a restaurant out at City Island, and Roz was in the hospital, and her daughter had some friends, and they met us, and they were the biggest Wiggers.
And they're white dudes who really acted.
So
like,
we're sitting in this restaurant, and this guy, and he's been in prison, and he's not. He's the only white guy in the group, but he's sitting in this restaurant going, niggas be talking about that, and he talks black too, and he's going, niggas be talking about that, and there's a black older couple two tables away, and I'm like ready to melt. I just wanted to hide, and they turned around and they looked at him. And they went right back to their meal, like, okay, because they knew what the deal was. It's like, this guy
knew
been,
it wasn't him
grew, yeah, it wasn't
spewing
him.
Out
it's
Ku Klux Klan hate.
Yeah, exactly.
It was just a
silly
part
asshole.
Of the,
but no,
the
it's
vernacular,
like,
you know, it's just, it's
the
part
environment,
of the
environment,
I think it's, we take too much into what people are saying and not what the context of what somebody's saying. And what the whole thing about the Rich Incognito voicemail, the thing that was a most shocking to me, it wasn't that he called him a half, all that. It was the fact of the...
He went after the sister, talking about...
But he was sitting there saying, I will kill you.
Yeah.
Like, to me, I'm sitting there, America's going, oh my God, did you hear what he called him? I'm like, did you hear him threaten him? Like, to me, the threat...
You would think a death threat would be more...
I would think it would be a little bit more than calling him a name, you know?
Yeah, of course.
But I think we become so hypersensitive, we listen to every word, and we read every word that every person says... But and now you're starting to read in more and more, and you realize, you know what, Incognito, I don't think he's a monster. I think he's a retard. Mm-hmm. He's a moron that was, you know what, he was a guy who should not have been in a leadership role.
Yeah, that's the other thing. They gave him responsibility.
They gave him that responsibility. You know, like, he should have
said something about this. In competitive combat sports, there is an attitude that supersedes everything else about physical dominance. That's why big, tough guys in a MMA fight will kiss each other on the lips. because they're saying, that's how much I want to beat you. I don't care if I look gay. Same thing with using the N-word. These guys are saying, I am focused entirely on defeating you, on dominating you, so much so that I will use racist terms just to show you how hardcore I am. That's what he's trying to do. I'm not saying it's okay, but that's where this comes from. It's just like with, you know, it's like when, like if a white guy was fighting a black guy in a boxing match.
Okay.
Maybe that guy's not racist, but you could see that guy using racist terms if he gets carried away with simply trying to show how tough he is, even if he's not racist, because he's more of a sociopath. You know, see what I'm saying? It's like if a white guy came to the ring to Biggie Smalls' song "Niggas Bleed Just Like Us," like against a black guy, it would be more of a psychological thing,
okay,
than him trying to make a statement about black people.
Yeah. It's just it's a weird thing. We get caught up in so much in language and not about what people really mean.
You know what? Maybe we shouldn't know that much. You know what I mean?
It's well, like somebody unfortunately,
broke
we
that
do.
Story. No, but I'm just saying, these guys, look what's happening. You know, these guys are killing themselves, shooting themselves in the chest so that their brains are preserved so that people will find out what the hell was wrong with them.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's bad enough that they're...
These guys are basically, they're the modern-day gladiators. They're killing themselves, you know, for our entertainment. Whatever goes on in the locker room, I'm like, you know what? Maybe we shouldn't know. Maybe, you know...
Listen, just like I said, if there was a problem, like, you know, like people were saying, well, Rich Incognito shouldn't be used that language, blah, blah, blah. You know who decides that? The guys in the locker room.
Yes.
Because if they didn't want him using that, they would have said something and it would have stopped. You know what I mean? 30 brothers would have went up and said, yo, dude, I don't want you using that, man. Don't use that shit around me. And it would have stopped. That's it. Done. But apparently it's not, because they're looked at as brothers. They're all looked at as a team. And whatever, you know, verbiage gets used, you know, I do it. I say this in my act, but I say, look,
well, you look at them as brothers.
But I, you know, I talk about that in my act, but I say, look, you know, I'm a big boy, fat, whatever you want to call me. And if me and another big guy, we look at each other like, what's up, you big fuck? What's up, fatso? What's happening? Yeah. It's okay. But if fucking Cousin Joe says anything to either one of them, he's getting a punch in the mouth. You know what I mean? It's like, who are you, skinny? Stay out of our fucking game.
Until,
you know?
Until Joe opens his fly, then he's no.
Then I'm accepted.
All right, let's take a break. Dave, thanks for calling in, man.
Thank you, guys.
Dave, good talking to you, bro.
Check out Dave's movie.
Good luck with the movie.
Yeah, check out the trailer. It's ArchieBlackMovie.com. All right, bro. Thanks, man.
Bye.
All right, let's take a break. We did almost an hour. We'll come back. We'll do some more shit. All right. It's the Conti and Kenny Show on morelikeradio.com and contiandkenny.com.
Did you know you can listen to any of the More Like Radio shows on the go? Download TuneIn Radio on your smartphone and search More Like Radio and never miss a show.
Fellas, are you looking to spice things up in the bedroom? Been fantasizing about surprising your lover with an adventurous new toy or adult movie? Well, here's an offer you won't be able to resist. Go to adamandeve.com, and for a limited time only, you'll get 50% off just about any item. But that's not all. Oh, no. When you select your one item at 50% off, you'll also receive 3 free adult DVDs for a little inspiration. Plus, a free extra gift so sensual, we can't mention it on the radio. And to top it all off, we'll even throw in free shipping on your entire order. And no, we're not teasing. So check out adamandeve.com today for this special offer. Get 50% off one item when you type DEAL48 for the offer code upon checkout. When you do, you'll get 3 free DVDs, a free extra gift, and free shipping. Just use offer code DEAL48. At adamandeve.com.
Wrestling's fake.
Oh, yeah?
Jesus!
The organization that brought you Tangled Web, Tournament of Death, and Prelude to Violence. 15 years of hardcore tradition. The Combat Zone is professional wrestling's proving grounds. Combat Zone doesn't do PG. No ballroom dancers or pimps shucking and jiving in our ring. just the biggest names in independent professional wrestling. Masada.
Oh my God! What? Oh, yes. What the hell?
Adam Cole.
Only in pro wrestling can two men kill each other and then follow it up with a hug covered in blood.
Danny Havoc.
Oh, no, no, no. God, oh, no.
Drake Younger.
Just moving your body on the canvas. Painful? God. Not painful in that! Yeah.
CZW features the ultimate hybrid style of high-flying mat wrestling combined with hardcore, death-defying action the other promotions wish they were allowed to show you. Get the latest news on live events, internet pay-per-views, and more. Or score yourself a classic CZW t-shirt from their online store. Support the ultra-violent underground. Go to czwrestling.com or follow Combat Zone on Twitter.
Hey man, when you need to look your finest, what do?
Well, I grab my favorite t-shirt, of course.
You know, I just knew you were gonna say that, and I was gonna ask, have you ever checked out T-Fury?
I think so. That's the website with the new t-shirt every day, right?
That's the one. At tfury.com, there's a brand new t-shirt design every day, and each one lasts for only 24 hours, then it's gone forever.
So it's tea today, gone tomorrow?
Exactly.
That's a lot of t-shirts. Where do they all come from?
Well, each design is submitted by a freelance artist, so no two are exactly alike. And the best part? All these tees feature nothing but nerd references. Whether it's movies, TV shows, video games, cartoons, comics, or culture, they're all awesome. And get this, each tee is just 11 bucks.
Dude, it looks like I need to update my wardrobe. What's that website again?
Just use tinyurl.com/MLRTees. That's tinyurl.com/MLRTEES. Each limited edition tee lasts for only 24 hours, so get over there before time runs out.
Check out today's T-Fury design right now at tinyurl.com/MLRTees.
Here's Johnny.
What'd you do, a gig where you found two cockroaches in the same kitchen and you had to make a bet? Listen, you fucking gambleholic cock motherfucker. I want my goddamn frames, and I want the goddamn tape. It's only been fucking a week and a half since you told me you were gonna drop it off. Get your fucking head out of here, you gambleholic giddy cock!
You fucking lunatic!
You gambleholic giddy cock!
Here's Johnny.
What'd you do, a gig where you found two cockroaches in the same kitchen and you had to make a bet? Listen, you fucking gambleholic cock motherfucker. I want the goddamn frames and I want the goddamn tape. It's only been fucking a week and a half since you told me you were gonna drop it off. Get your fucking head out of here, you gambleholic giddy cock.
Someone need a hug.
You gambleholic giddy cock.
Someone need a hug. Someone need a hug. Hip, hip, hip. 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 Hip, hip, hip.
Okay.
Hip, hip, hip.
Okay.
I'm here to port hip. I'm here to port hip.
Here's Johnny.
What'd you do, a gig where you found two cockroaches in the same kitchen and you had to make a bet? Listen, you fucking gambleholic cock motherfucker. I want my goddamn frames and I want the goddamn tape. It's only been fucking a week and a half since you told me you were gonna drop it off. Get your fucking head out of here, you gambleholic giddy cock. You gambleholic giddy cock.
Have you lost your fucking mind? Have you lost your fucking mind?
Hey, Portip. Hey, Portip.
Yeah, pork pit!
Okay.
You fucking lunatic!
Don't give me that hug.
Someone need a hug.
You fucking lunatic!
Tip, 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 tip,
pork pit!
Okay.
You fucking lunatic!
You're just hurting yourself with this rambunctious behavior.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
But I got in a lot of trouble legally and stuff like that, and I went through from 21 to 24. I didn't have sex. I didn't have a date. All my friends thought I was gay.
Dude, I had the same thing, but I think it was 15 to 33. Same thing.
Fuck.
Literally, if you don't count prostitutes, it's 15 to 29. You can count like on one fucking finger. Chop my finger up, and that's how many fucking different broads I had.
I thought you were totally serious.
I'm close. 15 to 30. Yeah.
I'm 21 to 20.
Yeah.
ContiandKennyShow.com.
Hey, this is Dave Cyrus. You're listening to the Conti and Kenny Show. Go watch me on God Hates Brick Stone so I don't fucking kill myself. Go watch me make fun of people who deserve it.
All right, we're back. I took a little bit of a break because the boys wanted to go get a cigarette.
Is Peter Gabriel?
No, this is The Who.
Oh, it sounds so much like...
Imminence Front.
People forget. Da-da-da.
You're so, thinking of Pop Goes the Weasel, where they sampled Peter Gabriel's Sledgehammer, but you hear this all through it. That's how your mind works.
Holy shit.
Okay.
That's right.
I find that out. This DJ goes... I go, this is Sledgehammer. And he goes, yeah, but it's also Imminence Front. I'm like, that's right.
He thinks it's this, right?
Yeah.
But a
great song.
The two of them together are that third bass.
Third bass, yes. Which I loved third bass. That was, you know what? It was Pop Goes the Weasel.
Pop Goes the One and Only Weasel.
Pop Goes the Weasel, the Weasel.
Pop
goes the weasel, the weasel.
Pop goes the weasel because the weasel goes pop.
Here we go. This is great because Cousin Joe was... You were on it. There we go. Of course, it's an advertisement. Why wouldn't it be? But anyway, it's a Conti and Kenny show.
Mine is Kenny.
Yep, in the non-productive studios here. You're either listening on morelikeradio.com or you're listening on contiandkenny.com.
Where you should be listening.
Where you,
that's where you can hear us go straight through to 10.
Here we go.
Yes.
All right, here we go. This is what you thought, Joe.
Okay.
Just keep listening. You'll hear it. Right? Yeah, that's right. This is it in the back right now.
Right. You're going to hear the Who thing first. Autistic, intricate raps becoming so simplistic. I got a strong mind, it doesn't have to be spoon fed. And I can read, it doesn't have to be read. So some stay alive.
illiterate and feeble, legally licked to go the ways of the weasel.
Well, now that's the Peter. Right.
No, but after the
yep.
After Peter Gabriel, you hear it.
It was a total slam on MC Hammer. Alright, now you get.
Hear it? That's Eminence Front.
Yeah, yeah.
But then in the next part, you'll hear it more right
yeah,
here.
Yeah. Are you going to make us listen to the whole.
I love this.
All right.
Well, I can listen to this all fucking day.
So if you're on Skype, you can call us at NPN Studios.
Sorry, I'm trying to get the volume here.
Oops. That was pretty impressive, though, that you put that on just when I mentioned that he was thinking of the other song.
Yeah, exactly.
And I knew how his mind worked, right? But I was right.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's a young buck. He's like, oh, but yeah, this is. I thought this was Peter Gabriel.
He's a young buck. When it comes to music, though, he's got an old soul.
Oh, yeah. I agree. An I'm saying soul. As far as music, though, yeah. He's like...
Yeah.
You know, it's funny, we were out one night, and somebody at the table went, The Who suck. And I just said, look, I'm not even the biggest Who fan, okay? There are some things, and I understand we all have our opinions about yeah. everything, but there are some things, fuck you, you have yeah. no right to say they yeah. suck.
And then you say, who do you like? Nickelback,
but,
find the lump.
But, not, but it's not even the fact, look, if you want to say, nah, don't really care for it. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I'm down with somebody who said, but do not, there are certain things that you, I know we can all say anything sucks.
Nothing's going to last like what we were brought up on, because we've got the Stones, the Who, Led Zeppelin, these guys have lasted, you know, this is a group that's lasted for how many decades? How many decades do you think you're going to see of some of these groups, you know what I mean, today?
I'm not even trying to go past the present. Because, I mean, even...
No, but it's the body of work is what I'm saying. And it's like, if it's in your life, like Springsteen's been in people's lives all their life.
And there's that's a lot of people who do not like Springsteen.
I agree.
But it's like, if you just... And I know when you're saying something sucks, it's implied that it's your opinion.
Right.
I get it. Yeah. But if you want to say, hey, you know what? Nah, I don't really like Springsteen. I don't really like the way he sings, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, that's different than yeah. just fucking, yeah, he yeah. sucks.
Water's overrated.
But then there's just certain things I just think you can't, like, Cousin Joe, Coletta is a huge Pearl Jam fan.
Yes.
Okay? Now, a lot of people, they have, like, especially because of Eddie Vedder, which is ridiculous, got nothing to do with the music.
It's political shit, yeah.
Because it's political shit, right, people. That. But you know what? If you're going to say Pearl Jam sucks... They've been around 20 years. They've had I don't know how many albums, and just,
they can still yeah. sell the it's Garden almost, tomorrow.
It's almost like there are certain things you're not going to get an argument on. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
If you want to argue that Kesha sucks, yeah. I will be on that fucking bandwagon till day end. You know what I mean?
I don't trust that Bono fella.
No, but Johnny O brings up a good point. Like I'm trying to think. I was thinking in my head when he was saying it. What's the last band that? You could see going another 20 yeah. years and keeping a solid
see,
career
I'll
going.
Be honest. I never liked Bon Jovi, but I give them props because they're still around, you know?
Yeah.
And
yeah, my thing with him is that I've always thought he was a very overrated songwriter.
I agree. The song lyrics are stupid, you know?
And I think that, first of all, I think the one of the biggest reasons why Bon Jovi is still relevant today is because he is a New Jersey-based band, because... There are so many people. We have so many people in this state, and I think that has helped. And
no, but he's a. He's a.
I
national
understand he's
act.
A national yeah, yeah, act, yeah. But I think number one is that women. It's like women are terrible when it comes to music.
I agree.
They suck when it comes to music. The only reason there's bad music out there is because of fucking broads.
I'm not going to go into it, but a girl said, "I go, why do you like?" I at the time I hated them, and they were relatively.
Why
do
they like them?
Because and I said, why do you like them? And they go. They're so cute. And I was like,
and the thing with Bon Jovi is that the reason why, listen, I understand people enjoy the music and I guess there are some well-written songs. I don't really like them. But the thing with Bon Jovi is that he's always kept that female content, that part of his fan base.
Because
he's always seems gettable.
He's always seems like he's like right there.
Joe put a lot of thought into this. It's a little scary.
He always seems just gettable.
That lion's mane.
Because
hair.
You know what? Gene Simmons had a great. I think Gene Simmons is a pompous douchebag,
he's
but
a cunt.
He's one thing that I love that he says. He goes, "Women will abandon music when they're kids." And we were like, "I'm listening to what he says." He goes, "You can look at a 14-year-old girl." And listen to the music she's listening to. And then when she's 30, she's listening to completely different music. You take a 14-year-old boy, and then when he's 30, he's listening to the same music. Of course, he's adding other stuff to it. But, you know, it's like, I don't, for me, when I see a 14 or a 15-year-old kid now listening to pop music and loving pop music, I don't get it. Like, I don't know. I guess, you know, like, you know, there's certain things you like as a novelty.
Yeah.
But when I was 14, not that we were rebels, but I was listening to harder stuff. I was listening to shit that my parents didn't like.
Right.
And these kids now.
What year did you graduate high school again?
87.
Okay. So you were like, all right, disco was over.
Yeah. It was all like the heavy metal, hardcore. That was the stuff that we were listening to.
But were you listening to more classic rock, like older stuff?
No.
Or you listening?
I got into the classic rock afterwards.
Right. Okay.
It was more of like Iron Maiden, Black Sabbath, okay. Dio.
But I also, but they're considered classic now.
Now it's classic.
At least a freaking Coletta over here.
And I just think that there's something to, and this doesn't go for all women, but I think that for years the reason why there's shitty pop music is because of women. And girls.
Of course.
Women, because, you know, it's just...
I read something interesting. Think about it. In the 40s, it's you know, girls' hormones are changing. In the 40s, you had Sinatra. The 50s, you had Elvis. In the 60s, you had the Beatles. Mm-hmm. Then somehow, it kind of changed, because all of a sudden, they were actually listening to the music. So... The Stone, maybe Mick Jagger, the Stones, or something. But I mean, as
it
far
also
as
had
that,
to do with this, what happened in the '60s.
Oh, I
the
agree.
Sexual
I
revolution
agree. Yes,
and
yes.
All that. Yeah.
But I mean, as far as like the big number one act, and now it's reverting back. So now this, you know, we've got but Justin Bieber. 10 years ago, it was Justin Timberlake. You know what I mean? It's like, or whatever, or the boy bands at least. But
well, 10 years ago, it was absolutely boy bands.
Yeah.
The put together bands.
Yeah.
You know,
but who was the biggest? NSYNC or
Backstreet Boys? I would think NSYNC and Backstreet
Boys. Backstreet
Boys. I think.
Yeah,
because I think
the point is they know that the producers know that there's a dollar out there. It's allowance money. That's what it is, but they know that there's a dollar out there when you put out, you know, something for the
absolutely,
screaming hormones
yeah.
of the 14-year-olds. And you're right. What do they listen to when they're 20, 21? You know what I mean?
They're not listening to that.
Yeah.
I think the only example of that was the Beatles, because I cannot watch Beatles footage. It's obnoxious.
Yeah.
It's you just see four guys playing and you just hear women screaming.
Yeah.
It's like, shut up. Stop screaming. Listen to the fucking music. But I think, and you know what? The first boy band. You know what the first boy band ever? The Monkees.
Oh, the Monkees.
They're going to say New Kids on the Block.
No. The Monkees were the first boy band because they were put together by a corporation.
All right. Well, I mean, the Beatles were the first. I mean, okay. You're saying the
first
manufacturer boy band.
Right.
Producers
yeah.
wrote their lyrics and all that shit.
Well, they had guys. They were songwriters. And and these guys, like the one guy, was it Peter Nesmith? He was a musician. They wanted to write their own shit.
Yeah.
But they were given some very good pop songs at the time. So they were like the first boy band. You know, I don't remember.
They were the first manufactured. Yeah.
Absolutely. But they're just certain. Like, you can almost.
And when they started, you ever hear the story when they started rebelling and they wanted to do their own material? I forget the guy's name. The guy that was the producer that put that show together.
I don't know who.
He's from Jersey too. I forget his name. Paul Schaefer used to imitate him on Saturday Night Live.
Oh, I don't know.
I forget his name. Don Kirshner. No.
Oh.
Don Kirshner.
Kirshner, the one he used to do all the concerts.
So Don Kirshner. Yeah, but he was the guy that
he
did the Monkees, and basically, he said, I'm going to put a band together, and I'm not going to have to put up with this crap. And the next thing he did was the Archies, so it was an animated thing, so he didn't have to worry about guys fighting.
Oh, no shit.
You just have studio musicians, and you have an animated cartoon, you know what I mean?
No way.
Yeah, that's how he said, you know, I have complete control now. That's Mickey Dolenz wants an extra olive in his, you know.
Yeah, I just found that there's certain things you just can't say suck. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You want to argue certain things, but just, you know.
You could not like it, but you can't say there's no talent behind it.
Yeah, you know.
The truth is, though, they had hits, and they I don't know if, what they played, but they actually, the Monkees showed that they had some talent.
Oh, yeah.
You ever hear the story, though? Jan Wenner, the guy that was the editor of Rolling Stone, it's like his life's mission to keep them out of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Okay.
It's like, Jan, while you're working on this one gate, there's five behind you that let in LL Cool J.
Yeah.
You know, it's like
they would satisfy all of the you know, everybody or the contrarians, everybody who has an issue with all that, if they just change it to the Music Hall of Fame. Just change it to the Music Hall of Fame and nobody will complain that LL Cool J or Madonna got in because it's just music.
Yeah.
Then, you know, because, listen, it took them forever to put Black Sabbath in. It took them forever to put Rush in. And it was almost like, at this point, who gives a shit? You know what I mean?
Except that, the fans. What I mean? It's like, I can watch that. You ever, like, when I watch the Hall of Fame, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I'm so grateful that I'm not in that audience because those people have to put on such a fake smile or whatever. You know, like when Chuck D from Public Enemy is making it clear that it all comes from blues. And he's right. Mm. But then where the hell is fucking Stevie Ray Vaughan? You know what I mean? Why? There's so many people that should be in if you're going to do that before you start putting in, you know, a rap act or a pop act, you know, Madonna. Right. Come on, I mean, there's so many people that shouldn't be in there,
should
have, you know, been in after, followed someone, you know, and it's just for Rush to have to wait that long. That was just there's something wrong with that. It's like, you know, I don't know what's wrong. I don't, you know, I hear Eddie Trunk talking about it, but it's just like I get so turned off that I just like I don't care. I'm like, you know, oh, who's coming in this year? It's like if it's hockey and I don't follow hockey, I go, oh, who's in the Stanley Cup? I don't give a shit.
Yeah,
you know,
it doesn't affect
because I don't have
all.
A vested interest. I can't.
Yeah, exactly. Because
I'll lose an inch and a half on my small intestine if I think about it.
Oh, by the way, if anybody wants to get any Conti, did you see these, Johnny? You got these stickers?
Oh,
check them out, huh?
I didn't see that.
Look at them.
I'll put on the refrigerator.
I want one.
Sure you? Yeah, do you?
I do.
They're Conti and Kenny stickers, and I'll put them on the screen here. If you guys want any, just email us at ContiandKenny@AOL.com.
I'm gonna put this over my I Climbed Angry Bob on my bumper stick.
Inside joke. I don't care. It's funny. But yeah, email us at ContiandKenny@AOL, and we'll mail it to you. Or if you just want to send me a Twitter, you know, message. And then
did he redesign his bobblehead doll since he lost weight?
I don't know.
Yeah, they keep falling over.
Sorry, yeah, I don't know.
That's
if the,
not funny.
If the doll's filled,
he's
with,
a good guy. I'm
no,
not.
He's not. He's not. I don't give a fuck. Last couple times I saw him, uh-oh, he was just a dick.
Oh,
he just wasn't nice.
Start, Johnny?
So I don't care. You know what? You know me. I don't. You know what? I was. I tried to be nice to him.
Oh, no.
He fucking. He snubbed me. Like,
I had
who
no
the
idea.
Fuck are you? I was. I've
Joe's
never
a little angry.
I've never been nothing but nice to the guy.
So you're saying, Roz, you take him off the list for the New Year's party?
Oh, I don't care. I don't give a shit. I would still be nice to him. Like, hello, how are you? But I don't give a shit.
You gotta understand. So we got off on the bad foot, me and him, because I was just doing big jokes, like you know, I would just say something about him, but I just meant it as big, and he was sensitive, and then he realized. I go, dude, I'm 250. You know, it's like I'm not. You know, I'm doing big jokes. When I would say, you know, Bob gives his old shirts away to charity, his old black shirts away to charity. They use them as grill covers, and he would like get all offended, and then he lost all that weight, and now I think he's a lot happier, but. In case he's listening to this, Bob is okay. That's all I'm saying.
Whatever.
Gives a shit. Was that wrestler going to be there?
And Conti hates your guts.
I don't. But it just, you know, I mean, if somebody's not nice to you.
Yeah, I know.
What else are you going to do?
Yeah, if they're snooty.
I don't know. I don't know what his problem is, but I don't care.
Is that wrestler going to kick my ass?
No.
What wrestler?
That's an inside joke from, we talked about that on the show like 2 years ago.
You mean,
He brought it, just to take it back to Johnny O's New Year's parties, he took a this like Croatian girl or something to Johnny O's party and left her there.
The stain's still there too, by the way. And I don't know what the hell she polished her boots and then she throws up on them or something, and whatever the combination is still on the carpet. I swear to God.
And then someone took pictures of her like passed out on my lap, and then I drove her home. Nothing happened.
Right.
But
okay. It's fine.
Okay. No, I'm sure of it.
It's fine.
She's still alive. Or did she get sent back to her sex trade?
I think she's jerking guys off in Brooklyn right now for change.
Okay. She's back in the gulag.
Okay. Here, I got a story for you guys. Chinese women are renting boyfriends to please their fucking parents. They're renting boyfriends to please their disapproving parents. Let's see if this is this a.
But they're not lesbians.
No. They're.
Oh, I thought they were lesbians trying to please their parents.
Yeah.
I'm thinking they're trying to. It's a beard. You
right,
know?
Right, right. What's the reason for renting them? They can't get. I'm trying to figure this out.
I'm trying to find.
Because obviously, it's normally the other way around. It's the guys paying for the girls for whatever it is.
In a trend that sounds lifted straight from a screenplay, blah, 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 blah. Jesus Christ. For as little as 800 yen, that's $132 a day, single women in China can hire a clean-cut 20-something boyfriend for family and work functions. This service is apparently most popular around the Chinese New Year, when Chinese women are most likely to return home for family parties. It's particularly in demand amongst women in their 20s and 30s who face intense social pressure to get married before a certain age. Although the service is unavailable for Chinese, the service is available for Chinese men
as well.
That's
crazy though. They're being pressured to get married and then have one kid and that's it.
Yeah. It's like, now come they're on, get through the whole family bliss and then just pop out one and make sure it's a boy.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah,
you know. According to the article,
if it's girl, you'll give it back.
According to article, many of these rent boyfriends hawk their wares on the online retail Toubao, the Chinese eBay, that apparently doubles as a sort of virtual hub for beard romances. For a minimum of 3 days, these gentlemen will accompany women to various family and social events. Some of the ads feature an insanely detailed account of their services, including shopping, 300 yen an hour, dinner, 50 yen an hour, seeing a movie, double the price for a thriller for some reason, and a prefunctuary.
Double the price for a thriller.
Yeah, double for a thriller.
Don't get the mannequin too excited.
Seeing a movie and a prefunctuary 50 yen kiss, which also includes free hand-holding and a free goodbye kiss on the cheek or forehead. Such rigidly defined terms and deliberately unsexy language may serve to highlight the chaste nature of the rent-a-boyfriend who does not list sex or anything beyond kissing amongst his services. I only rent my time, not my body. You know what I mean, says Matthew Fan, an accountant's manager who's been moonlighting as a rent-boyfriend for the past 2 years. I'm just trying to see if there's anything else interesting. A handful of those.
So they're not renting him for fucking. That's not going
on. No. It's because their parents are obviously.
She find good boy.
Hold on. I just got a text message.
Well, we'll just put the show on hold. Good.
I'm sorry.
Even though it's yours.
I do apologize.
It's okay.
I don't know if it's because they're like you were.
But it's only the holidays, right?
Yeah, I get.
Isn't that sad? That no country's different, right? Everybody wants to have special moment. You know,
it's like,
remember the bit you used to do? It's like it's Christmas, and then you have to.
Exactly.
You have to have somebody
to hold your hand when it's Christmas time, but like you were saying, are they lesbians? It doesn't say anything here, but
it's implied. You know what?
I don't think so.
They're career.
They're
girls.
Just they're modern day girls living in a really prehistoric country, China. You know, although, technology
anybody
and all that.
Anybody that gets married before they're 35 is nuts anyway. I mean, our parents, it was a different era.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you should live a little,
No, I agree.
That's why I think they say, how they say, 40's a new 30, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
It's because people are, I don't want to say we're not maturing, but we're not, listen, 50 years ago, when you were 21 as a guy, you were married. Right? Yeah. You're married to your high school sweetheart, and you were already working, and you were working on kids. Yep. Now it's like you're 30, like you said, 35, and maybe they pop out two or three kids. So that's why it seems that, hey, you know what?
See, yeah, women have that you know, that expiration date. So it's like they think that, like, by 40, you know, but now you can have kids into your 40s. But the point is, so I understand that. But if they're 30 years old and they got to do that, first of all, if they're not seeing somebody, you know what? Then don't, you know.
It's dude, think about it. It's that real strict type of a, just a culture. That culture is like, you'll get married. You know, it's, think about it. They're like the way we were 70 years ago.
This one, keeper.
Scramble in the chat says, I got married at 24 and I'm getting divorced at 30 now.
Oh man, kids?
Did he say
he's got kids?
You didn't mention it, but 24 is way too.
It's just
I just turned 30.
I don't know. I'm not trying to say things are different. Somebody in the chat room.
Why did you propose? The stick turned blue. No.
It just seems that we live in an age now where people, I think, because you have more information, people are more apt to say,
they're more pressured.
No, I think it's the opposite. We have more information, and we're like, why do I got to get married when I'm 21? You know what I mean? Look what it was 50 years ago. Who gives you shit? Like, people have a chance now. They're going on. I'm breaking it down in simple terms. They're going online and looking at videos of people all over the world going, I want to visit. I want to go places. I don't want to just be 21.
Yeah.
Putting every ounce of my being into a house and some, wife and all of it, get kids. And by the time I'm 30, I'm going to feel like I'm 80, you know? Mm. It's like, live a little bit. Go out. Have some fun. Do your thing. You know, I mean, maybe we sound like we're a little less responsible, but let's live a little bit. You know, I think this stems from the 80s where it became the me decade.
Right.
You know, the 80s was the me decade, and it was all about excess and you know, everybody doing coke. And, you know, I mean, I'm not saying coke.
In China, it was the me so horny decade.
It just seems that we're more.
You know what it is? I shouldn't even go into this. My wife watches 16 and Pregnant on MTV.
Oh,
I have
wrong
no idea.
With her?
No, but she loves that crap. But at any rate, one of them was this girl. She's a small girl. She was over 220, and she's like a month and a half away from her pregnancy. I mean, from delivering. And so she decides to have induced pregnancy because she goes, I can't get any bigger. And it's like, it's bad enough that now you're jeopardizing the health of your baby
because you don't want to
because
look
it's all about you. You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. But yet you're claiming that, you know, oh, I don't care about college. I don't care about this or that. I wanted a family. Mm. You know, and it's like it's one or the other. You know, it's like, come on.
Yeah. Well, I think and it shows because like we're in a generation now where everybody has to prove how much they love their children.
Yeah.
You know, like there's a thing going around on Facebook right now, right? And it's I think you put like 10 things about you that maybe people didn't know, and then somehow it gets passed on, and then you do one, right? This girl I went to school with, very nice. First thing she put was where she was born, right? All right. Second one is I have 3 children, and they are number one to me.
Yeah.
I'm like, so is that something that nobody would know? Like you're telling us that my kids come first. It's like, whoa, there's a revelation. Woof.
Yeah.
Glad you told us that, because if I didn't know, I would think, yeah, your kids just, whatever. If they eat today, they eat today. If not, don't worry about it. So it's like everybody's trying to show.
Aren't you also sick of, I hate the fact that women think that just popping out a kid is an accomplishment. Like they want to fucking pull it. They're like, oh, look at me. Okay, the guy forgot to pull out. Congratulations, what?
Yeah.
Fucking, no one cares.
Yeah, unfortunately.
You're not a genius.
Carlin said, he goes, look, nobody gives a shit about your children. That's because they're your children.
Exactly.
And it doesn't mean, hey, you know what? I want to see your kids, you know, do terrible. But in fact, factually, we just don't care, you know? And it doesn't, you're right. It's, you know, hey, listen, my sister had her first kid at 40, okay?
Mm-hmm.
My sister just.
But she dated Mario, so.
I have to bring up the past. Grumble.
I never see your sister and not bring that up.
Yeah, I know. It's strange how, you know, it's almost the complete opposite where, we're doing it where they're not doing it there in China. Yeah. Or there is there a huge population of women that are just going, yeah, you know what? I'm just not ready.
I like that. And be a goddamn individual.
Be an individual. Don't just follow the pack. Don't be boring and predictable.
You know what's the saddest part? I'm just thinking of this. In my late 20s, early 30s, like when people just started dropping, you know, getting married, dropping like flies. And and I wasn't even that friendly. There was like a friend of a friend, and the wife blew up. And then she goes, Johnny-O, I get to eat for two. And I'm looking at her alone. And you know what? They got divorced like a year later. It was like, come on, what are you thinking? You know, it's like, I fulfilled my mission. Why is he leaving me? Because your arms are flapping when you reach for the clicker.
it's a weird thing, you know. It's like, be yourself.
Yeah.
Don't just follow into the footsteps of what you're supposed to be.
You would think that saying is so easy to follow by, but these days it's not, for whatever reason.
Dude, no matter what, be yourself. No matter what,
they have to conform to some kind of.
You listen to people talk politics, and I just say, boring, predictable.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear it. You know, you're some sort of right-wing Republican. I know what you're going to say. You're some fucking, you know, douchebag liberal. I know what you're going to say. You're predictable and boring. Don't talk to me. And I like what these girls are doing in China. They're basically soothing. They're just saying, you know,
shutting
what?
Shutting their parents
shut
up.
I'm doing my own
thing.
Look
what I'm doing. You see, I brought a boy home. Okay.
I brought a boy home, while she's trying to build her empire.
Yeah.
You know, good for them. Good for them. Fuck the parents. And I understand what parents are doing. They're trying to, you know, who knows what they're doing out there. But I think that the issue with parenting today is that one thing parents of every generation have done is they always try to do one thing. They want their kids to have it better than them.
Right.
We're getting to a point where how much better can it be?
Yeah.
How much better can it be? Yeah. Which I think would bring me to this next story.
Can I pause you for a second?
Perfect segue.
And bring up a... killed the segue.
Go ahead.
No, but there's also another level of parents trying to live vicariously through their kids.
Oh,
you know, I hang out with, like, you know, Dave Satsik, who's a comic friend of mine, and a bunch of other comics, like, well, about my age, around 30. There's this one kid that goes to open mics. He's got to be fucking 18 tops. His father goes to every open mic, and it was found out.
This is weird.
The kid's father writes his material. Have you heard about this?
You told me this.
Mm.
And he shows up to every show, and when the kid bombs, he'll yell at the kid going, "But you did this wrong.
It's like...
It's so bizarre.
What did he bat in the Little League? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's almost what they call them, backstage moms.
I know what I mean?
The one who pushes their kid to be an actress or whatever.
The one that flips out at Little League or
stage
whatever.
Mothers.
Yeah, stage mothers, yes.
It's so bizarre.
He's a stage father.
Backstage mom was the video you rented about.
Back end stage mom. That's almost
that's
the same
thing.
That's
a whole other level.
That's one of the weirdest things ever. I've never heard anything like that.
That's kind
of
weird,
Can you imagine? Like, you're not just, you know, making your kid play baseball.
Right.
You're making your kid do something that, like...
You wanted to do but couldn't.
Most people on the planet can't do.
Right.
Like, a zillion kids have played baseball. A zillion since the beginning of... since baseball's been around. There hasn't been that many people that... go up on stage and do stand-up. I mean, percentage-wise, it's tiny compared to something else. And you're basically saying, here, do this stuff.
Does the kid want to do it, though?
He seems like he wants to, but he's got...
Yeah, but is that want, like, kind of now it's kind of turned into he wants to make his dad happy?
See, the kid's got to write his own stuff. He's doing his father's stuff.
Right, but unfortunately, it seems like he's got no choice.
How old's the old man? He's probably in his 40s.
At least.
The kid's going up.
Hey, why don't you go up, you know?
Yeah.
I heard some of the kid's material. He was like, "Hey, how about that George Wallace?"
Exactly. It's like not. It's like he's not writing it for his son.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
So I got another hemorrhoid.
Who out there is getting a prostate exam like me? Yeah, I told you
to do it.
Do you ever have your balls hit together? You play Gnip Gnop when you're sitting on the toilet? And everybody's just staring at him. You're 18. Your balls haven't even come out yet.
You guys remember the old gonorrhea scare back in the day? Huh? Remember to get the old needle in the arm? Who's had their polio shots? Put your hands up.
So I was driving my my Pinto.
Studebaker.
I had my Etzel out the other day, and I was taking his broad out, and we were at Make Out Point. I'm like, hey, we're going to watch the movie on the screen, you know?
At the drive-in.
At the drive-in, yeah, I tell you. Who's your favorite Beatle, huh, guys? That's definitely one of the weirdest things. Mm-hmm. I remember when you told me that.
Yeah,
that's strange,
a whole
man.
Level of
God.
Yeah, that's creepy.
Yeah, but we're talking about the kids today. Mom gives kid homemade lunch. School forces them to eat Ritz crackers.
Now, what was wrong with the homemade lunch?
Well, here it is. A mom who thought she properly parenting, who was properly parenting by sending her two young kids to school with a homemade whole food lunch, was shocked to find a penalty note from school officials informing her that her lunch of roast beef, potatoes, carrots, oranges, and milk she provided was unbalanced and therefore had to be supplemented with Ritz crackers. She was also fined $10.
No.
Dude, this is a real story.
Who? What state?
Who upheld that fine? Who said? Yeah. What the fuck?
According to Weighty Matters, the Manitoba government's Early Learning and Child Care Development Department blindly follows a policy which requires lunches to be balanced, according to Canada's awful food guy. It's Canada. Yeah. Unbalanced lunches are subject to supplementation and fines of $5.
But still, how the fuck are Ritz crackers better than milk and everything else?
They're saying that they needed a grain. How is a cracker a grain?
But she had potatoes, right? No.
Yeah, potatoes.
That's a starch, right? Yeah. But the point is that she wasn't. She wasn't eating McDonald's. See, this is part of this. No tolerance bullshit that goes on in the world. Look, the kid wasn't coming in with McDonald's and chicken nuggets every day. The kid had, I mean, you read it. He had vegetables in there, a potato,
sounded
a little
pretty
meat.
Pretty balanced to me.
You know what? It was, you know, because we are over, we're overlooking, we're over emphasizing everything, and we're over monitoring everything. And I've said we're trying to take the kids and basically saying, hey, basically watch my kids, be the parents, teachers, while my kids are in school, but don't you dare fail them.
Yeah.
You know, so it's this weird kind of a quandary that we're in. According to the nutrition facts found on his homepage, a serving of Ritz crackers, 10 crackers, contains 6.5 grams of fat, which is nearly half as saturated. To drive home the ridiculousness of the policy, Kristen tells Weighty Matters she could have sent her kids to daycare with microwave Kraft dinner and a hot dog, a package of fruit twists and cheese string and a jukebox, and it would have been met with the approval by the MCCA. See? Because we don't look at things. We don't look at things case by case anymore.
Right. Yes.
They just look at something and go, oh, no, no tolerance, or this is part of this, and goodbye.
It's not part of this checklist, so
that's it. Yeah, exactly. Instead of looking at
it. I wonder,
things.
Is ketchup still a vegetable in Canada the way it was here, you know?
As a follow-up, Kristen notes that the other parents falling short of Manitoba's policy has resulted in the creation of a hot lunch program, which she's described as great. Wow.
Dennis in the chat says, why, Conti? It's like you're implying there are a lot of really shitty parents.
Are there... I agree. In theory, I agree with Dennis 100%.
Mm.
Are there really more shitty parents out there, or is it like everything else? We just notice more of the shitty parents.
You know what? Here's what I was going to say. You're reminding me. I don't know about you guys, but when I was in high school, I can remember going to parties. Some girl would have a party, and everybody would go. And you didn't even know these people. You know, it was friends of friends. But you came to the party, and there was always beer there. Nothing more than that, beer. Never liquor or pot or anything.
Keg stands?
Yeah. Not a keg, but everybody would have beer. Okay. But the parents would usually be there, and you know, so that the house wasn't trashed. And now today, it's like if a parent is home and the kids have a party, and somebody calls the cops, and the cops come, the parents get arrested.
Yep.
And it's like, you know what? I mean, I understand if, like, you know, they shouldn't be driving if they're boozing. But, you know, what happened to, like, and it's like now it's like so much overkill the other way. You know, it's like, you know, it's like.
You know, it's like anything else. It's like divorces, right? Like, if you look at it like now, like 50 years ago, it was always tilted the other way because women had no leverage at all with divorce. That's why they didn't get divorced, because they didn't have education right. And all that. So now it's tipped so the other way, even though half of the women in America are working, you know, but men get absolutely royally fucked over in divorces.
Yeah.
You can look at it, and same thing with, like, affirmative action, right? Like, affirmative action was needed 25, 30 years ago, and even longer. Now it's like, do you really need it anymore?
It went the other way.
Because things
were... We needed a union, you know? Workers needed a union. Now it's at the point where... That's $112 an hour, and but if we have to drink cold coffee, it's $148. You know, and it's overkill. Then they wonder why they're laying people off. You know.
Well, I think when things are tilted one way for so long, you can't. And I'm not saying this is my belief. I'm saying this is just kind of factual. You can't just tip it back to normal. Got to go the other way.
The other way, exactly.
For some reason,
yeah, it does. Like, it always does.
And then can it ever just tip back? I think, you know, socially with, like, you know, with different, I don't think it's coming yet with men and women, but I think socially with, like, hiring people, it's starting to tip back the other way a little bit, where it's so understood that we're not in a, like a racist society, overtly racist, or at least institutionally racist, where people are being held back from getting jobs. Listen, you can't tell people how to think. So people, but you could say, hey, you know what? There's not too many cases of you hearing, hey, this black guy didn't get a job because he's black. You know what I mean? Mm. Or this guy didn't get a job because he's Spanish or whatever. So it's like, maybe we're, you know, seeing that thing tilt the other way. But the thing with women and men in divorces still is tipped the other way.
Oh, of course.
You're hearing about a guy who's like divorced. Yeah. Yeah. He got his wife cheated on him.
Yep.
She's divorced him. She gets the house, and he lives in an apartment. Yeah. And you're like, how is that fair?
Yeah.
Just like it wasn't fair 50 years ago for women. So why? Because, you know why? Because it's too much work for the judicial system to actually sit there and go, let's look at things case by case. The judge comes up. Okay, what is it? Divorce? Let's look at the chart. You owe her $3,500 a month. She gets a house. Take care.
Instead of putting logic and reason into...
And taking actual time, because you know what they want to do? They want to blow out as many cases as they can so they can put more money in their fucking
assembly
pocket.
Line, sure.
It's just, it's all just nonsense. So, but like Dennis said, like I'm under the impression, and I believe this.
Wait, who the hell is Dennis?
Dennis in the chat room.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We got people in the chat room chiming in, Johnny.
I'm sorry.
I'm just saying, you know, I mean, it's...
You guys have computers in front of you. I'm just... I'm staring at a lava lamp.
Like, I'm convinced that there isn't, you know, like people say, oh my God, the world is crazy today. You know, there's, you know, I don't believe there are any more percentage of criminals now than there was 40 years ago. There isn't more pedophiles now, percentage-wise, than there was 50 years ago. It's just that every story is on the news. You hear about everything more. So are the parents worse today? Or is it because we're hearing about all these little things?
I think the extremes are worse. I think, like, the worst there might have been, like, three really evil people in, like, the 40s, you know, that were, like, chaining their kids in the basement. And
right.
And now there's more, because you get money to be a foster parent, and they're just, like, starving the kids and, you know, taking the money and, you know.
Well, even when it comes to just, like, parenting, like, I think, like, our parents, right, maybe not Joe's, but our parents, I think they had it shittier. Because if you were brought up in, like, the 40s and 50s or even a little earlier, maybe our grandparents... You know, you were kids, and sometimes it was like, oh, yeah, I'm in eighth grade. You're not going to school anymore. You're going to go work and help the family, you know, where kids really got it shitty. But I think, like, I grew up in the, you know, 70s and 80s, and you grew up in the 70s, right? And I think right about that point was this, I think it was a perfect storm, because we had that kind of generation was like, hey, you know what? Good job. Also, hey, stupid. Don't fuck up, and you still get a kick in the ass. Now we're at a time where every parent wants to be their kid's best friend. Hmm. And everything is about making the kid feel okay,
yeah.
about building their self-esteem. Right. They don't like to play different games anymore. You're not allowed to play different games in schools anymore because it affects... You can't do Valentine... Like, the kids can't do Valentine things anymore.
Right.
Because it... Yes. You know how, like, you used to do, like, hey, I want to send... Yeah, you would send a Valentine to a girl you like. You can't do that anymore because you don't want somebody to feel left out because they didn't get a Valentine.
I remember in elementary school, we had to pick a Valentine and write a card to him, blah, blah, blah.
But all that goes out the window because now it's what Carlin described as the self-esteem movement.
Everyone gets a participation trophy.
That stereotype of the participation thing, there was some of that a little bit. But it wasn't like it is now because there's so many examples of that. They're not letting kids do anything. They won't let them play dodgeball because it's violent.
Yeah.
They won't let them do anything like because they don't want them to feel bad. It's like you're taking away the coping skill of the future of our country. By going, hey, listen, you know what? Sometime life sucks.
Yeah,
and whether it's a three-year-old kid who can't play with his toy for 10 minutes, and you know what? You're going to cry.
We're raising thinner-skinned kids, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
I had dodgeball in junior high with fucking glasses, and it made me go, you know what? I need contacts because my glasses keep getting broken. And I'm a pussy, and I can't touch the ball. I keep moving, but it slaps me in the face. I need contacts. So for me, that was a helpful thing.
Yeah.
But
I think this self-esteem thing... Like, listen, self-esteem is great when it's organic, but
when it's real,
exactly
when you earn it.
And you know what? There's nothing wrong with once in a while having a kid with low self-esteem, because without low self-esteem,
you wouldn't have this radio show.
You wouldn't have this radio show. There would be no great songwriters. Fucking A.
Yeah,
there would be no great musicians. Right. All right. No great comics. No, I mean, maybe actors, some actors, you know, but the arts would be shit.
Yeah.
Because people, like Carlin said, he goes, look, having high self-esteem, usually people with high self-esteem are very aggressive and tend to be violent. Because serial killers tend to think highly of themselves.
That's true.
And there's I mean, it's a joke, but there's a great point to it where, listen, you can try, of course, parents don't want their kids to be raised up like thinking that they're garbage, but to sit there and go, hey, great job, but also, hey, over here, you fucked up and you lost.
Yeah, you could do better at this.
Yeah, but you lost. Right. You lose. Good day, sir. You know what I mean? And there's nothing wrong with teaching a kid. Sometimes you just lose.
Yep.
And you know what? Whatever. Either you get better or you go on to something else. Mm-hmm. It's sad because I don't have kids. So I sit there and preach this thing. And people with fucking kids, they get pissy. They're like, you don't know what it's like. I'm like, but at least I can look at it objectively.
Yeah,
I'm not saying... personally, hey, I think you're raising your kids wrong, but you could say, hey, certain general things are a little off.
No, but more so what you're saying is the school is telling the parents how their kids are going to be,
but it's
raising
only
them with the whole everyone's a winner. It's not the parents doing it.
No, it's the parents. The reason why the schools are like that is because parents are coming in going, hey,
complaining about.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well,
my Timmy went to every practice.
Why isn't he playing?
And he only got in 2 innings per game.
Yeah.
And he broke his collarbone tripping.
So that's where it stems from?
There's a famous comic, not a comedian. There's a famous picture of like a cartoon.
Right.
And it shows 1950s and then today.
Uh-huh.
And in the 50s, it shows a parent holding a piece of paper with an F on it.
Right.
And it's got his kid. And the parent's looking at the kid going, why did you get an F?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a one from today, and it shows a parent with an F, and he's looking at the teacher going, why did my kid get an F?
Hmm.
So it's a little bit of that, hey, this because of that self-esteem thing going, hey, my kid didn't do that. My kid's great. Why did my kid get an F? Because your kid sucks, and you obviously don't give a shit because you think the it's an oxymoron. They want the teachers to parent them, but they don't want them to fail them. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like, you know what I mean? You can't have your cake and eat it too. If you want your teachers to parent your kids, You know, and plus, anyway, these teachers today, let me tell you something. When I was in my fucking early 20s, you know how many girls I met that were like, I want to be a teacher. I like kids. They were dumb fucking broads that just wanted to have a kid. And they were like, well, you know what?
That's
I don't know when I'm going
to have. Right now, yeah.
I don't know when I'm going to have a kid, but I want to be around children. They're so cute. And let me tell you something. That is one big reason why we have these fucking shitbag teachers. And part of it is the fact that the curriculum is, hey, you know what? You can't do anything. You can't give. They say right now, you can't give an F. You give a kid an F, you have to go through so much paperwork that it's like, here's a D minus. Get the fuck out of my face.
Really?
Yeah, dude. It's
nobody
brutal.
Stays back anymore. You know,
No Child Left Behind. Yeah. That No Child Left Behind thing that Bush did, and I'm not blaming Bush. No, I'm saying it came in during Bush's administration was part of the reason. Going, hey, because you know what they do? There's these aptitude tests, right? And the whether it's the
like
state
a regents or whatever.
Yes. Yeah, so what happens is you have to, you know, your school has to match up and, you know, get to this.
I remember my regents being changed to a 65 as being passing, and that was like a big deal. I think it was 70 before that.
Okay.
And they lowered to a 65.
That's what they did. So what happened was kids weren't passing. So they said, well, we can do two things. We can either work really hard to get these kids smarter so they pass, or, oh, yeah, we can lower the expectation. So what they were doing was lowering it, like you said. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's almost like saying, hey, you know what? I need to kind of do an overhaul on my motor. Or I could just keep putting oil in it every fucking day. But once it starts tapping, I put more oil in it. And you know what? Your fucking motor's going to die out pretty soon. Mm-hmm. But you don't give a shit because you're not willing to put in the work to fix the motor. That's what they're doing. They're not fixing these kids. They're not trying to get them to excel to get up high. They're going, oh, yeah, we're not passing them. Let's lower the fucking the aptitude.
Can I bring this up? And I realize I'm only 30 as of 2 days, but still.
Mm-hmm.
I think all three of us can relate to this. When we were all in high school, none of us ever heard of a fellow student fucking a teacher. Happened recently?
I did.
Or do you think it's just hear about it more?
I did.
So you think it's been going
on
for decades?
I knew. At your high school, there was one teacher who I think there were at least two of my, they weren't like really close friends, but guys I knew.
Yeah.
Who from?
I should make it clear, I went to an all-boys school, so it would have been a little different.
Well, even the teachers were men?
No, there was a couple of nuns, but I mean...
Oh, well, but that would have made it even hotter. Yeah. That would have been some sexy-ass story.
She really does look like a penguin. She's pregnant.
But yeah, we had a teacher...
You think it's always been going on, or
I think so.
You hear about it more?
But I do think part of it is these teachers are... They're like, I'm sorry, but if you're a fucking... You're a grown woman, and you find it... Not that you think a 16-year-old is... Hey, you can look at a 16-year-old guy,
keep
I guess.
In mind, some of these teachers are grown women. They're 21 or 20.
Right.
Well, Joe, it's like what you just said. The girls that were like, I want to have a kid, but I can't, so I'm going to be a teacher.
They're fucking
and then the next thing is, oh, maybe I'll have a kid with him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, they're fucking mental midgets.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, I'm sorry, but I don't care. You're a 25-year-old guy or a 30-year-old guy. You can look at a 16-year-old and go, all right, she's whatever, nice. But if you fall for a 16-year-old girl, you're a half a retard.
But
because they're impossible.
But it goes back to what you were just saying, how the men get treated different in divorce. A male teacher, you're screwed.
Understandably.
A female teacher, they're like, hey, holy shit.
Absolutely. Because they say, well, you know what, that boy could be scarred. I'm like, you know what? He's going to get scarred by a 16-year-old girl who's going to fuck him over and break his heart. So don't tell me a 24-year-old who knows what the fuck she's doing isn't going to be a little more fun for him. So, but I do understand. If it's a guy teacher and a girl... I completely understand.
That one
why.
Couple, they're together. The teacher, I think it was
from Florida.
Yeah, Florida.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, she's with him. Yeah, she wasn't letting him go.
So it was true love. I'm going to show a movie today. You come to the coat room.
All right. We only we got 2 minutes until the big changeover.
ContiKenny.com.
Yes. All right. So if you're listening now live,
ContiKenny.com.
Go to ContiKenny.com. There's a player on there. You could just continue and listen to the show. Or if you go to ContiKenny.com, you go into the chat room, and I think you make up a name and a password, and you can join us in the chat.
That's the only option for you.
That's the only option.
Just go to ContiKenny.com right
if
now.
If you're going to stay on More Like Radio, check out Lust and Love.
No, go to ContiKenny.com. This is silly. Just go to ContiKenny.com.
All right. Yeah, okay. All right.
Make
so, No. Let me, we're going to just do this real quick, and then we're going to probably go into a break. But I got like this little transition music.
Okay.
All right. So we'll do this transition music until we switch over, and then which is only going to be like a minute. Then maybe we'll go into a break, and then we'll come back, and we'll just be on ContiandKenny.com.
Yes, we will.
All right. We'll be right back. It's the Conti and Kenny Show. On more like... Well, not
on
more,
ContiandKenny.com.
On ContiandKenny.com with Johnny O and Cousin Joe.
Cousin Joe Show.
I read a thing on Reddit. There's this like a billionaire in Japan, but he was in a motorcycle accident.
That collects asses.
Yeah, he's got thousands of women in boxes,
collects
cages, things like that.
That's real.
Hang on, can you guys back up? Because I was looking at something. Just start from the beginning. There's a guy.
He's a millionaire.
Billionaire.
Billionaire. He was like an electronics billionaire
in the US.
Or something, right?
In Japan.
No, this is in Japan.
Of course. Okay.
But he pays the girls. That is their job.
Yeah, he keeps them in boxes and cages with their asses out because
he
loves ass.
He has like over 1,000 of them.
Oh my gosh! I was picturing boxes of cut up asses.
No.
Autopsies.
No, like boxes of real women squatting down, and there's like only one hole in the box.
You guys put it.
There's a picture on Reddit.
Like, where do you cut it from? How much do you leave in?
What the fuck? That's exactly what I was thinking.
What?
Nigga, you're right. Take a breath.
What?
Say it. Nick needs a minute. I don't think he can
We're going to give him a minute. Nick, he's drooling on himself. What were you going to say?
It's a
shocking. Someone collects ass. Why do they have to be in a box?
Because he doesn't want to see anything else.
Why are they boxing them asses?
Well, I'm just thinking, if you collect asses, where else would you store them? You said a guy collects asses.
Yeah,
I don't...
Excuse me, I got you a box of asses.
Brad Smith says, is anyone else hard?
I got a chubby. Tune in to the Cousin Joe Show live Thursday night, 7 to 10 on More Like Radio.
My nickname was I Don't Know Joe because whenever I was trying to talk to somebody about my problems, I'm like, listen, man, I don't know. I don't know what the hell's going on.
Is that really?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how I feel, and I don't know. All I know is I don't want to be here. I don't want to be there. I don't know where I want to be. Just, I figured I should tell you. And they're like, they would be like, what the hell are you talking about? I'm like, I don't know.
Listen to the I Don't Know Joe Show every Wednesday at joefernandez.net.
Okay, hip point, upstate. Hip point, upstate. Hip point, hip, upstate. Hip point, hip, upstate.
say hip, hip, foot, hip, hip. Hip, foot, hip, hip. Hip, foot, hip, hip. Hip, foot, hip, hip. Hip. Here, boy, 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 hip.
Okay.
Okay, hip, hip. Okay, hip, hip. Okay, hip, hip. Okay, hip, hip.
Oh boy.
Hip, point, hip, point, hip, point, hip, point, hip, point, hip, hip, point, hip, point, hip, point, hip, point, hip, point, hip.
Jerk my cock. Jerk my cock. Jerk, jerk, jerk my cock.
Okay, foot. Okay, foot. Okay, foot. Okay, foot. Okay, foot.
Hey everybody, this is Joe Conte with Kenny Michaels from the Conte and Kenny Show, and we just wanted to let you know about a brand new podcast we are doing called Conte and Kenny Shorts.
It's a bunch of stuff that we had from newer stuff that we just re-release from our regular 3-hour show on Monday nights, but we also have dug around and found all the good stuff that we've been doing for 7 years. Or if you like the crazy stories, there's a ton of them. We just gotta find them, grab them, put them out.
Yeah, the podcast is anywhere from 20 to 35 minutes, and you get like 2 or 3 quick segments with a couple of little things in between, you know, little cute little things, and so far people like it. So the best way to do it is to either go to ContiKenny.com or just subscribe on iTunes.
And also remember, I've only stopped doing cocaine for about 3 years, so there's 4 years of cocaine.
Ah,
remember that. Just as much drinking.
BC and AC. Before Coke and after Coke.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes. I like it. BC and AC.
BC and AC. So
there are some good times.
Yep. This is Conte and Kenny Shorts, a podcast of a podcast, which I like to say, based on our show, the Conte and Kenny Show.
Podcast of a podcast.
Yeah, because we do a show, but it's also a podcast. So that's a podcast of a podcast.
But we do a show, not a podcast.
But our show was still podcasted.
But if we podcasted it, then it would be not a show. It would be a podcast. But if we do a show, then we podcast it, and then we a podcast of a podcast. But that doesn't sound right.
Do you think people are still listening now?
No, that's they're why they not go even to podcasts.
They're not even listening to this commercial.
Why are you arguing with me?
I don't know.
You're completely correct.
Conte and Kenny Show Shorts. Conte and Kenny Shorts from the show. The Conte and Kenny Show on More Like Radio every Monday night, 7 to 10.
We had to shorten it up because we didn't think we could do this much longer.
It's over 2 minutes. How are we shortening this up?
No, I mean our careers.
Oh, okay. All right, thanks.
Enjoy.
Wait, hold on, hold on. We got something from Johnny O coming in on shortwave.
black-jawed maggots around here. Yep, 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 yep.
There'll be some swelling.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
All right. We are back. Just on ContiandKenny.com. It's the Conti and Kenny Show. Arrogance and alcoholism is our mantra. We are in the NPN studios, non-productive studios. ContiandKenny.com/listen now. And we have Cousin Joe. We have Joe Coletta here.
Hello.
From the Cousin Joe Show, which is on morelikeradio.com on Thursday nights from 7 to 10.
That's right.
And I'm going to be on your show Thursday.
This Thursday, yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
And Johnny O is here. Johnny O, our pal, one of my oldest friends, and not oldest friend. I've been friends with you the longest. I've been friends with you the longest.
It's at that point now, right? I didn't mean that you were old.
I didn't mean you were old. I'm right behind you, brother. We've been friends a long time, and what a great comic, good pal. And Johnny O, and you're on Facebook, right?
Yes.
Right? It's Johnny O Comedian?
Comedian Johnny O.
Comedian Johnny O on
Facebook. AOL.com, I think.
Well, I'm talking about your Facebook.
Oh, well.
Yeah, you're bad, dude. Just look up Johnny O.
John O'Rourke.
John O'Rourke, you'll find him on there. He's on my Facebook.
It's on Johnny O, too, I think, yeah.
And,
Just look. Either one works. John O'Rourke or Johnny O.
And if you want to call in, if you have Skype, you can call in at NPN Studios on Skype. All right? Excuse me. All right, here we go. What do you got? I'll give you guys a choice. Do you want to hear a PSA from like 1995 from these kids talking about what the internet is going to be? Or do you want to? Well, you know what? We'll do that first.
Okay.
Because I want to do the.
Looks like you decided for us.
Yeah, I did.
All right.
It's my show.
Sure.
All right. Oops. And
this would be public service announcement.
Yeah, it's a PSA. Yeah,
this was a commercial that aired on, what, like network television?
Yeah.
Where did this come from? Is that?
I just know it's from 1995.
Okay.
And it's a PSA.
Asking questions.
Oh, okay. It's a PSA about the internets.
Okay.
And here we go.
Hey, why should I be on the internet?
Why?
So we can find you.
By the time we're in college, the internet will be our telephone,
television,
shopping center,
and workplace. And it's already got more stuff in it than you could possibly imagine.
In less than an hour, you can
visit the planet Jupiter,
take a tour of the Sistine Chapel,
do research on the rainforest,
get soccer scores for a team in Italy,
chat with a friend in Australia,
and I even found a recipe for cat food cupcakes.
It is as much a part of the future as we are.
Shouldn't everybody be on the internet?
Yes!
What's amazing is that Johnny O's impressed at what they just said.
I'm just
He's no, actually just impressed laughing. Going, really? Within an hour
I'm
the moon?
I'm just laughing because I'm excited and I'm thinking so are 12 priests.
Isn't everybody? Yes, you should all be on the internet. Now, these kids were probably 8 or 9 and, dude, like everything they said, of course.
Well, can I just stop you there?
Go ahead.
They were given a script. I'm sure those weren't really 9-year-old thoughts.
No, I know that. No, I understand that. I'm not saying that they were.
Thanks
but I'm
for
saying,
clearing that up,
fact,
Joe.
I'm like,
no, they just let the kids riff about something that was going to be really big 20 years later.
Those kids say the gosh darndest things about the internet. It's amazing that like everything that they said we've done. In the internet and beyond. Like they said it would take an hour, you know, within an hour, I guess at that point, you know, to look up stuff or whatever. But at work, you're basically using that for work, talking to somebody in Australia, you know, so they, the people that were
Wait a minute, what about the Italian soccer scores?
It's a Luigi at 3 and Mario at 2. What are you going to do? But I found it pretty cool to sit there, and it was 1995, and I know that there were, I think 95 is when AOL first started.
Yes, because I remember those CDs they were sending in the mail.
It would say 95, yes. Right? 1995. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So yeah.
You get this 203 minutes or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, yeah, it was ridiculous. You would pay.
Oh, I remember them. Sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You would have to pay for your time.
Per minute.
Yeah, yeah. 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 It was CD, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And it was, you know, it took you forever.
I used them as coasters, but.
And you would have to use your dial-up. But the worst part is if somebody called you when you were online, it would knock you offline.
Yeah. Oh,
and then yeah, it would be yeah. another 15, 20, you know, another 15 minutes of.
And that count, and that counted? You lost that time waiting to get
you know, I don't even know. Yeah. Because
you lost it because it was a quarter of the way loading a tit pick. It would slowly drop down.
Right, right.
And right before the nipples, you get a phone call.
Yeah, you get a phone call. It's like, yeah, fuck, that. You start calling me because you want me to buy Britannica fucking, you know, encyclopedias.
Yeah.
But by the time I didn't get on the, I didn't get into the online late. It was probably late 99, early 2000. Yeah.
Wait, so
that was when I first got my
first
computer.
Were you in any of the chat rooms, like the AOL chat rooms? Yeah.
That's how I met James.
Really?
I met James in a fucking AOL, in an AOL. I have a bunch of friends that I am still friends with today that I met through AOL.
So Lonely Queers was the name of the chat room. What year was this?
No, they weren't. It was semi-Lonely Queers. Yeah, they no, there was like all these New Jersey. Weird story, right? I'm
it's
bullshitting.
Already weird, but okay.
Wait, yeah, but hold on. So you knew where people were from in the chat room?
You could, but there were different chat rooms. They
ASL.
Would make up chat rooms.
Okay.
Yeah,
ASL.
You would make up chat rooms. Like they would be ones that were already there, but then you could make up one like New Jersey Romance. Over 30, over 40, whatever it was. So I was bullshitting around. I used to go into chat rooms. And so I'm in this one chat room, and I'm just, you know, kind of watching people. And, you know, you're just watching people bullshit. And I had said something. Somebody said, oh, where you from? Jay Not So Funny. You know, my screen name was Jay Not So Funny 68.
Was it really?
Yeah, because, you know, 68, blow me and I'll owe you one, you know?
Plus, I was, you know, whatever. The part I was focusing on, but okay.
Oh, yeah, the Jay Not So Funny. Yeah. Yeah. I used to have Jay Funny, and then I realized I can't just do Jay Funny. It's like, oh, really? You're funny? Fuck off, you know? So, you know, it's like having, you know, Billy Big Dick, you know, 6'18".
There's so many aspects. I'm just letting you
finish.
Yeah,
yeah. So I'm, and I mentioned that somebody asked where I was from, and I said, oh, I live in Parsippany. So I get an IM from this chick, and she's like, hey, you're from Parsippany? I'm like, yeah, where'd you go to school? I said, oh, I went to Parsippany High. Really? When'd you graduate? I said, hey, you know, whatever. And she was like, I went... End up, we know each other. Mm-hmm. So she was like, just come with me to this chat room. There's a bunch of my friends are in here. So she goes like, here's the link. I go into this other chat room. And this is the first thing she says. Hey, everybody, because they all know her. Michelle, you know. Mm-hmm. She goes, this is my friend Joe. Jay Knotts, you know, just he's a comedian.
Oh, boy.
So right away, I get bombarded.
Tough chat room.
Yeah, hey, funny guy.
Make us laugh.
Why don't you say something funny, huh,
oh,
funny guy?
God.
So I just sat there and just took it because I didn't give a shit. I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm not really that funny, you know, whatever. And I just, for like 3 days, every time I went in the chat room, I got blasted from these fucks. And at one point, finally, they just go, you know what? He wasn't a baby. He didn't fucking cry. He didn't say, I'm leaving. I'm getting out. So they said, he's cool. So then I just started bullshitting with people. And one of the guys had a business, and I was looking for business cards. So I sent him an IM, and I'm like, what's up, dude? And he's like, oh, my office is here. And I went to his office. It was fucking James. Got business cards, and then my friend Joe was in the same office. And then we just started hanging out. But I had already met a few of the other people. They had come to see me. I mean, I was only doing stand-up like 3 years.
Yeah.
They came to see me a couple times. This was
from the chat room.
Johnny will appreciate this. I'm at Pietro's. Okay. Remember Pietro's?
Yes.
So I'm doing a show, and it was about a table, about six or seven of these, my friends that came to see me, who I didn't know too well, you know, but, well, there was another comic on the show who Johnny O probably knows. His name is E.C. Winkler. He's a comic guy we know, right? But what happened was they knew him. He used to go into the chat rooms. And his name was Cute Comic.
Okay, see, I don't know. Was he cute?
AC's a round fella.
Okay.
Kind of a round.
Rotund?
Round fella.
All right.
So what happened was, and I'll never forget it, we did the show, And, you know, I was only doing it 3 years. So I was always
it
a little
bit should have been the
more...
comic that most resembles a Bartlett pear. No, I'm like...
So now, I was only doing it 3 years. But, you know what, when I was doing it 3 years, I had a couple of moments where I would do okay, you know? Mm-hmm. Okay, at best, you know? So afterwards, I sat back down. And, you know, they were like, hey, you did a really good job, you know? So it was kind of cool for these people that I'm relatively new friends. So now, EC comes to the table. He knows them. I didn't know this. I didn't know that he had known them through AOL and he knew that they were there. So I'll never forget it. My friend Dan is sitting at where I'm sitting at the end of the table, and EC's all the way at the other end. So it looks like, you know, like a dining room table, and he's standing there, and, you know, it was kind of cool that I got, like, accolades from my friends. They were like, wow, you were really good. It was the first time they ever saw me.
Right.
And all of a sudden, EC comes to the table. And he goes, what's up, fellas? Hey, how's it, you know, whatever. What's going on? So did you guys enjoy the show? What'd you think? And my friend Dan just goes, you were not funny.
To you?
No, to EC.
Okay.
He goes, you are not funny. And I don't think EC had a really good set that night, if I can be very kind. And then EC just laughs, like, no, really. He goes, no, you were just unfunny. You were not funny at all. You stink. And he was like that. And I think, you know, I think Johnny O, you might know my friend Dan. You might have met him.
Big guy?
Yes.
I remember him.
You remember Dan, right? Dan's a little bit of, you know, but you know what, though?
He mailed me. He worked at a company. Didn't he work at a publishing company?
Yes. Yeah.
He sends me a Gent magazine with the, and he wrote, Johnny O, check out the centerfold. It looks like E.C. Winkler. I swear to God.
Wow, that's so weird. So, but it was brutal for me because I'm sitting there and I'm friends with EC, you know.
He's your AOL chat room buddies.
Yeah, and at the time, I will preface, I'm only doing this 2 or 3 years. EC was already doing it like 10. So I was not expecting, like...
But you were still better.
My friends apparently thought so, but whatever. The point was...
See, my only question is this. Is this the first time that you saw them in person? See, that's what creeps me out. They're my friends.
And No. We had met up a few times, and then that was the first time they came and saw me.
I got you. So perform. You didn't. So you had met before physically. Okay. Mm-hmm. I hate when people are like, these are my Facebook friends. I have 2,300 friends.
Yeah. No. This was just. this was weird. But just to sit there and listen, just no shame at all. Just to go nope, and you sucked. Just go. And he just sat there and was like, all right, listen, well, I guess I'm just going to go. I'll see you guys later. You know, it was really uncomfortable. But
and where is he now?
AC is still around. He's been doing some acting stuff. He was doing some Rocky Horror Picture thing or something. I saw it on Facebook. Whatever. The point was is that, you know, that was all through AOL.
He's a nice guy, Joe. He's a nice guy.
And I have... I've met a lot. It's weird. I haven't gone in AOL chat rooms in years. Now, the Facebook thing, like a lot of the people that I knew that I was actually friends with,
right.
Now I'm friends with
reconnect
on Facebook.
And yeah.
But
the
AOL thing, I had got...
So this was pre-Facebook. This was like...
Oh, yeah. This
and
was
there was
2000,
no pictures, so you only...
Only if they could put pictures on their profile.
Okay. Right.
But that was all, you know. And a lot of... And I will say, I hooked up with a chick. I went to meet her.
Let me just get this off my chest.
Yeah.
When I first got to know you, there were some... You had a thing about the munching bananas and then blah, blah,
that
blah.
That was one girl. Yeah, but okay, that wasn't an AOL thing.
Oh, okay, good.
No. Yeah, that was a bad time. Yeah.
Do you not want to explain that? Because it sounds very interesting.
Should we go into it?
I could, yeah. Here it is. At the time, I'll never forget it.
Let me do the quick version.
No.
He used to put his dick in their mouth after they ate a banana.
No. Let me tell the good story. I'm turning your mic off so I can tell the good story. Turning your mic off. If I'm going to tell this horrible story, at least make it...
I didn't mean to bring it up.
At least maybe I'll at least be able to make it at least somewhat humorous because it is kind of funny.
Okay.
I've actually told this on stage twice.
All right.
Okay. My friend, I was roommates, and my friend hooked up with this chick. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I had to be the wingman. So wherever we were, he was bringing her back to the house. And her friend was there. And I had to bring her friend, and I was hanging out with her friend. And her friend, how can I say? You remember Danny DeVito as the Penguin?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, kind of looked like that, right?
Okay.
Unattractive. And I was a fucking, let me tell you something. I was a fucking monster back then. I was in fucking massive shape. I was like, but I still had no self-esteem at all. So this girl, short hair, Spanish, big, right? I wanted nothing to do with her, right? I'm like, and we're hanging out.
Spanish, I get it.
But no, I have nothing to do with Spanish. But so now he's downstairs hooked up with this pretty good looking broad, and I'm upstairs playing fucking, you know, playtime with this chick because he's hanging out with her. And she's like, she's hinting around wanting to have sex. And I'm like, and no, this is not happening. There's no way.
She was that bad?
Yeah, I'm not. Listen, I've done some bad things, but I just won't have sex with somebody.
Make a room dark enough.
Yeah, I'll let almost anything blow me, but I will not fucking just have sex with anybody. Okay. I just always been like that.
Okay.
So he ends up leaving with the girl. He's like, can you do me a favor? Can you drive this girl home? I'm like, all right. So I go to drive her home, and long story short, I pulled into...
Too late!
Yeah, I pulled into for anybody who's local, the place called Adam's Beer Garden in Rockaway, New Jersey, right next to a dumpster, and fucking had her blow me, right? So she blew me in the parking lot, right? And the one thing I'll never forget, I had a fucking Dodge Intrepid, and my seat. I had my seat all the way back, and I'll never forget
that
this.
That was my first car, 93. Was it really? Dodge Intrepid.
So she's blowing me, right? And I remember... It let
forgetting the banana.
No, stupid. Let me tell the story. I was there. I would know this story better than you. So anyway, she blew me, and I'll never forget it. The one shot right past me. I had the seat all the way back. One of the rounds fucking shot right past me and landed on the handle on the door in the back seat. That's how fucking backed up I was, and I was all pumped up on androstenedione at the time. I was basically juicing. I was almost on steroids.
Like today's creatine?
Yes, it was basically creatine, okay. And you would just shoot these ropes. It was fucking amazing.
Oh, yeah,
so
okay.
I drive her home, right? And I made a mistake by giving her my phone number. So what happened was, like, a couple days later, she's calling me, and I would not answer the phone because I saw it was her. At the time, it was caller ID. I'm at the house. I would not answer the phone. And about a month of this. Month of this going on.
This is the short version, by the way.
Yes, because it's entertaining. So anyway, finally, I answered the phone one day because they were lean times back then, and I was a little desperate.
Understood.
So I picked her up, right?
Right.
And I was driving her around. And we're bullshitting and whatever. And I'm trying to convey, hey, look, I want to get a blowjob here. This is what's going on. So I'm like, hey, what's up? How you doing? Blowjob? You know what I mean? I'm trying to get to the point as quick as possible. Now she starts telling me, she goes, hey, listen, my sister told me this trick about giving a blowjob. I'm like, fucking lay it on me.
Ice cube, Altoid?
Nope. She says, if you take a banana... Take a huge bite of a banana, chew it up a little bit, then start blowing a guy. It feels like a vagina. So I'm in front of a shop, right, getting plantains, right? So I'm like, all right. So I get this fucking bushel of fucking bananas.
Plantanos.
And I go back and I find a nice parking lot. I was over by the Hilton Hotel in Parsippany, New Jersey by Route 10. And it's an industrial complex back there. So now
you go to Chiller Theater. You know where that is?
Right where the Chiller Theater is. Exactly. So
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So now I'm sitting there and I lean my seat back because she's like, all right, let's do this. So I lean my seat back and I fucking yank my drawers down and I see her start to peel the banana. And I see her take a huge bite. So now I tilt my head back and I close my eyes and I'm pretending that a human being is about to fucking blow me. And all of a sudden... Nothing's happening. I'm like, what the fuck? What's going on? And I'm about to open my eyes to look up.
When you say nothing's happening,
she wasn't doing anything. She didn't start to blow me yet.
I didn't have lunch.
Well, that's what happened was. I'm like, as I'm about to say, what the hell's going on? I hear, ah, fuck. Fucking fatso took a huge bite and forgot to start to proceed and swallowed what was in her mouth before she even got started. Like it was a huge, like asking you to stop breathing for an hour. It's like, no, you can't. You just have to continue breathing, right? So I'm like, all right, can we do this again? So we'll do it over. You know, I got this whole. By the way, my roommates ate bananas with their cereal for like a month and a half. There were so many bananas in our house that month.
Your whore leftovers.
Yeah, exactly. So now we do it again, and I lean back. I'm like, here we go. She takes a huge bite, and she starts to do it, and she's doing it for like whatever, a couple of minutes.
How does it feel?
Well, and she finally stopped, because I guess you know whatever was in her mouth, you know the banana that was in her mouth. You know, you swallow it after a couple of, you know, maybe a couple seconds. You can't just keep it in your mouth. So she stops for a second, and she looks up. She goes, how's it feel? And what I thought and what I said were two completely different things.
Oh, no.
What I said was, feels pretty good. What I thought was, feels like a fat chick sucking my dick with a banana in her mouth. It was fucking horrible. It was brutal. I'm like, I got banana on my dick.
Try to close your eyes and think of
yes.
it?
Yes! Oh. It didn't feel like
didn't work.
It felt exactly what it was. Whatever retard told fucking, yeah, you know, yeah. fucking, you know, Penny Penguin what that was supposed to feel like was
well,
an idiot.
Well, maybe if she'd stopped chewing. It's not really supposed to feel like a cement mixer. But wasn't she Spanish?
Yes, she was.
I remember I saw Joe another time, and he told me the story already, and he's just, you know, it was just after the show, but he's talking to some big girl, and I just went, is that Chiquita?
Yeah, she lived in Dover, go figure. Yeah. God damn, that was fucking funny. But yeah, so yeah, I did it I did it the one time, and then I did it again, you know, and did
it
the
it could have been worse. Some idiot could have told you bad advice. You know? Or it's cashews. You got to chew.
if you chew a light bulb and then tongue a guy's asshole, it feels real good. shit. All right. Well, since we're talking about food, might as well get into this. There is there's banned food in the United States. A state-by-state guide.
Now, is this the whole trans fat thing I've heard about, where they're trying to outdo that and get rid of it?
I don't know, because some of them are weird. Weird shit. Here's first one, Kinder Eggs. Johnny, do you know what a Kinder Egg is?
No.
Have you heard of it?
I have no
idea. It's banned in all states, a federal ban.
Oh, it's got a chicken still in it?
Which makes the FDA, our first food ban, which makes the FDA seem like a bunch of draconian, fun-hitting monsters, is no notorious forbidden Kinder Egg, or Kinder Surprise. The rest of the world just loves these toy-filled chocolate eggs, but the American government has decided they present a choking hazard. The fine for bringing them into the States is $2,500 per egg.
Oh, I know what this is. It's a toy inside the chocolate. Yeah.
I guess. A small price to pay for getting your hands on a hand-painted sassy hippo figurine. So I guess because there's a candy, there's a toy in the middle. That's
where,
kind of
where
retarded.
Are these coming from?
Other countries are nuts with that stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Whoever eats the dumpling with the ring gets to have the happy, you know, it's like somebody's choking. I think we found the ring.
Another one, Maribel plums. Have you heard of these?
No.
These are federal ban also. These plums, hailing from Lorraine, France, aren't seen stateside due to some bizarre import laws. Whatever. Though, we have our own plums, and they're plum tasty. So, for some reason, there's an import law that keeps these from being eaten in the whole country. These are all, so far, these are all federal bans.
What's the reason, though, for those?
That one, it just said because of...
Well, there's a rumor, if you chew on it with a cock in your mouth, it feels like a vagina.
It tastes like a pit of a fucking, of a plum. Shoot it into a guy's ass. Do you know what haggis is?
Haggis.
What's haggis?
That's that Scottish thing. It's like
it looks like a water balloon.
Yeah, it's the inside. It's actual the sheep's stomach.
Ugh.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's supposed to be tasty. I mean, I don't.
Banned in all states. You can make your own haggis in America, and who wouldn't want to do that? But it's illegal to import this stuff from the UK due to a ban on foods containing sheep lung.
Sheep lung,
which is like all the good foods. They're joking, of course. But you see it. It looks like a water balloon with like meatloaf in it. That's what it looks like. See that?
Yeah.
It looks like a balloon.
But you're Italian. You guys are both Italian. You ever have gabutzel? The sheep?
The sheep head?
Yeah, the head. You know what? Like it looks disgusting, but I was like, I was at this thing they called the cannibal, the pig roast, or the cannibal roast. It was cannibal night. It was like $75, and you eat for like hours. It's just it's 600 guys just drinking and eating.
It's a bunch of gross food shit?
No. It was really good stuff, but it's all like, some of the stuff was, better than others. But the thing was, when they brought it out, I'm just like, I'm not even going to think about it. And my brother-in-law showed me, just cut off the cheek, the meat of the cheek, it melts in your mouth.
Really?
So it's like there are parts of the body you don't realize.
But you saw him cut it off? See, because
No, it's like you have a half head, like a half a head. It's not a whole head. It's like,
no, but still.
There's one eyeball. It's like,
were you eating at Hannibal Lecter's house?
No, you would hear like cheering. There's 600 guys eating and drinking. You'd hear, yay, in the corner of the room. And somebody ate the eyeball. Yay.
God. Yeah. It's weird. Next one. Unpasteurized milk. It's banned in like 13 states, including Jersey. The debate over this stuff has its own Wikipedia page and has been raging ever since German agricultural chemist Franz von Sotle.
Isn't that, I'm really not trying to make a joke, isn't that just yogurt? Seriously. I don't know. No, I'm not trying to make a joke.
I don't know.
If it's in my refrigerator for about 2 weeks, yeah.
first suggested that
I got a milk carton with a picture of Eton Pates on it. Hip!
He first suggested that milk to be pasteurized. Some scholars believe raw milk to have intrinsic health benefits, while detractors believe it to be totally gross and evidently responsible for 25% of food and water contamination in the year 1938 alone.
Right.
This one, I've never heard of this, but this is hilarious. Lazy cakes. Have you heard of lazy cakes?
What was that?
The ban on these melatonin-laced brownies.
Oh.
So it's, you know what melatonin is, right?
Yeah, they help you sleep.
It's a natural It's a natural way to help you sleep. So I guess they lace them with brownies, with these their brownies laced with melatonin.
They're pop brownies. They're damn near pop brownies. Yeah, they're medical brownies.
Has since been relaxed. The ban on these have since relaxed. So it's only banned in Arkansas. But Arkansas officials were certainly up in arms about them when they hit the melatonin-laced baked goods scene in 2011 due to their causing severe drowniness. Melatonin then came under fire as a food additive by Dick Durbin, considered by many to be the Senate's drowsiness hawk. So apparently, it's just, they're brownies with melatonin in them.
Mm. Some guy that specializes in drowsiness?
Yeah, no, they're being sarcastic.
He's a senator, but he's like against...
He's the drowsiness hawk.
Yeah.
Okay. This, I don't even know what this is. Foie gras?
Yeah, that's a geese, French goose.
It's got to be
foie
French,
gras.
Right?
Foie gras.
Foie gras. The process used by some to produce and harvest foie gras, which is a super fatty goose liver.
Mm.
Ugh. Really is kind of disturbing, leading to its banning in the famously pro-goose rights state of California. So it's banned in California and Chicago. Well, Chicago until 2008.
I don't believe geese should have any rights.
shark fins banned in California, Delaware, Hawaii, Illinois, Maryland, New York, Oregon, and Washington.
That's all? So it's legal in all the other states?
It's all the other states, yeah.
Because my brother was saying, when he was in China, shark fin soup is a delicacy. And he goes, it tastes good, but why the fin? Why is the fin so tasty? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
there's
so much more to it that you would...
No, but it's a certain thing that comes out of it that's, it's like, I don't know, it's just bizarre. That's like, why not any other part of the shark would make a good soup?
Right.
Why does it have to be
just
the fin? Yeah.
Because
they're killing the sharks just for the fin. So these poor sharks, they literally don't even, because the rest of the shark meat, I guess, isn't...
Can't eat
that
it?
Good? I don't know, but they're...
So they're just...
I've seen
fins.
Videos where they're just taking the fins and they throw them back and they're just like...
They can't...
Not that I love sharks either.
No,
you know?
But I'm right, saying, right. Can they even swim without their fin? Or they just...
No,
drowning?
They died. It's like they're just killing them, but I mean, but basically, it's like turtle soup. You know?
Oh,
it's
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
It's like, there must be something where it's like, it's if it was easy to get, you wouldn't care. You know what I mean? It'd be like an egg.
Yeah.
But since it's hard, all of a sudden it's like, you know...
It's a delicacy.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to get. You know?
We have a $3,000 truffle in the front room, you know?
The shark fin, this is another one of those disturbing process bans. As the sharks in question are stripped of their dorsal fin and discarded into the ocean, which effectively kills them, like you said, as they are no longer able to swim, their fins are then pared down, bleached, and made into a soup. So, yeah, it's all pretty damn disturbing.
Wow.
You're right. This is interesting. Junk food is banned in schools in California, Massachusetts, and New York. Three of the most liberal states.
Well, you knew New York.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay, so maybe junk food is addictive, but the kids in California, Massachusetts, and New York are just going to get their hands on it elsewhere, like some junk food black market with junk food kingpins. Okay, we get the jokes. Or maybe just from the parents at home. We kind of like the idea of a junk food black market. So there is, you can't get, like, oh, I guess Whopper, it's, you know, Whopper fries drink, but what's the difference? You're in school. It's not like they're banning it from the state.
Yeah.
And, you know, kids can't go to a McDonald's.
Not on
school.
Our watch. No. Yeah, okay. at 5 to 3, the kid's got his face in a bag of Doritos.
This is the weirdest one. Eating fried chicken with anything but your fingers. Banned in Georgia. Gainesville, Georgia. Are you kidding me? So you can get arrested for eating fried chicken with a fork? Perhaps because fried chicken is something that's taken very, very seriously in the South.
So the rule isn't the food. It's how you eat
it. It's how you eat it. Yeah. I mean, this is retarded. The city of Gainesville actually banned its consumption using any other method than your fingers. No forks, no knives, no fancy-ass forks. Those are the devil's instruments. No word yet on whether other simple tools are legal there. Please, someone visit and let us know.
Well, you know, you're in the city, and you'll see some, and you know it's a tourist, and they're eating pie, pizza pie.
With a fork and knife, like, I know. Like, yeah. If you wait the 3 minutes for it to cool down just enough, then you can pick it up, fold it, and eat it.
Yeah.
Watermelon and parks. Banned in Indiana, Beech Grove.
That's just a weed out the blacks. I understand that.
Owing to the supportive sharpness of their rinds and their tendency to puncture garbage bags, eating watermelon is forbidden in Beech Grove, Indiana's public parks. Someone call up Ron Swanson. This just might be in his jurisdiction.
Wait, I guess the main reason is puncturing garbage bags?
Puncturing garbage bags? Is that what it... Or are they making a joke?
I don't know.
Well, maybe they're eating it with a fork? I don't
know. So basically, they're saying, in Indiana, in public parks, you're not allowed to eat watermelon. Is it something? No, we can't. You know what? Because you're not going to get more bugs or whatever, ants, from watermelon than you're going to do with any other food. Right? So it can't be that.
Yeah.
You think it's got something to do with garbage bags?
No.
It can't be, right?
No, I don't know what the agenda is there, but no, it can't be that.
This one's a doozy. You ready for this one? Mm. This is banned in Louisiana. Blood.
Is there a...
The ritualistic consumption of blood, be it animal or human, is illegal in Louisiana, leading many to wonder how common it was to drink blood before the ban.
Mm. Did somebody just watch Angel Heart and make a law?
But be it animal, I mean, people drinking animal blood when you're cooking?
I don't know. I mean, I know you could sometimes, you know, you get a little blood.
You know, it sounds pretty vague because, in any meat you can get.
You know, you might get a little blood, right? Like,
get it
bloody, right? Yeah. You know, whatever.
Yeah. How hard did you work to look up these freaking topics we're talking about?
I didn't look at all. This is one thing.
This is the best you could do.
This was
food that's banned.
I figured with you, this is what I was going to do. So, how about this? Flaming hot Cheetos in some schools are banned. Again, Massachusetts, New York, and New Mexico. Junk food in schools wasn't enough. Some evil...
You mean the flavor? The really hot ones?
Flaming hot Cheetos in particular with a blanket verbatim. Maybe because of their unholy red residue. Maybe they don't want kids, having stuff that's too hot for them. But
Are there spicy allergies now? Is that what it is?
Well, it goes right into the next one. Peanut butter. Is banned in Tennessee.
Well, sure, with the
in one school district because we're raising veal because everybody's allergic to peanut butter.
What did you just say? We're raising veal.
Yes, our children. We're raising veal.
I got you.
This generation.
You're right. Yeah. No, there are. It is dangerous if you have a peanut allergy.
Did you know anybody with a peanut allergy? I didn't know anybody.
I think I do. Somebody's kid. I'm not kidding.
No. Somebody now.
But it's a danger. Oh yeah. No. But I'm saying it's a dangerous thing if they do have it. But I don't know how. It's like being allergic to bees, you know, and then the kid would be screaming when a bee is like 5 blocks away.
Right,
you know
right.
What I mean?
Now it's like you can't bring peanuts.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't bring peanut butter into schools. It's if you bring a peanut butter and jelly
can't bring
sandwich,
watermelon to the park.
Margarine in public institutions is banned in Wisconsin. And
but only if it's with a fat girl.
And a banana. And this one, the last one. You ready for this? Food bans are banned in Mississippi.
Good. They're the only one that...
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, actually. And in what may be the most Mississippi thing to ever have been happened, food bans have been, in a super made a move, banned. It's a move considered a poo-poo of Bloomberg-esque food size restrictions and an indication that whatever direction Mississippi is rolling in, it's gained too much momentum to stop now.
You know that all of the food that we see at fairs now, it all started like in the South. That deep fried Oreos.
Is that where
Twinkies.
It started in
yeah,
the
that's
South?
That's what I heard, yeah. Because they deep fry everything. You know, chicken fried steak, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. You know
so
what? Chicken
is,
fried
yeah,
steak.
Yeah.
That's all there.
I heard that like carnivals is where that started and it picked up and all of a sudden now it's like.
That's
you
like
know,
the
it's on the boardwalk
thing,
now.
That's like the huge thing in Yankee Stadium, I've heard, is deep fried Oreos.
Yeah.
That kind of shit.
And you know what? You're creeped out until you taste it.
And
it
is good.
You've had it? It's good?
It's bad for you, though.
Is it
it's
better
like,
than right. regular Oreos?
Yeah, because it's got that, it's like a...
It's like a dough?
Yeah, it's got that, like a pie, like a cake kind of a, you know what I mean? It's like
can
it's
you
all...
you just get Haagen-Dazs Oreo flavor?
Yeah, but I'm just saying, there's something about deep frying, you know, a Twinkie. And so you're eating, you're crunchy right. on the outside, then it's a little softer, but it's greasy as hell. But then you have the cream in the middle and, well, I'm all over the map now.
No, that's, I don't think I've ever had that. What's the main thing is Oreos?
Yeah, that's the main
and
what?
Yeah, but they use
Oreos.
Twinkies too, yeah. Okay. I'm sorry.
I've heard about them, but yeah.
I saw them at
the
Meadowlands.
If the girl eats it just right and then you insert your penis in her mouth.
It feels like a donut?
There's double the cream.
Yeah, boy. Oh, I think Roz is in the chat
room.
Yeah,
she's in the chat room now.
Oh, okay.
She's giving out Johnny O's Twitter name, which is... @ Johnny O Comedian.
Oh, he's got a Twitter.
That's J-O-H-N-N-Y.
No shit. Comedian.
O Comedian.
Johnny O's on Twitter. So Johnny O Comedian.
In other words, Ross is on Twitter.
Well, what she should do like somebody else we know.
She's up on all this, you know.
What she should do is do what somebody else we know, which we won't say, where when you say something retarded or funny or weird, she should be running your fucking Twitter account and tweeting it whenever you do something like that. You know what I mean? So definitely follow our pal Johnny O Comedian on Twitter.
Just followed right now.
I did not know.
You didn't know. I didn't know.
Fucker. How do you not know? Well, but I'm glad she's taking a... And you know what? My girlfriend is taking an interest
true.
In helping me, too.
Yeah.
With sending emails out to try to get them to bookers and all that kind of shit. Because...
we don't promote.
We are terrible.
We needed some. I know. We're like idiots.
We are terrible.
Bob Levy and Big A is already following you on Twitter.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Very cool.
Yep.
Look at you. What you need, dude, you need a very simple smartphone. I know that sounds silly, but you could, and that's, dude, I'm telling you, you can build.
I like the flip.
Yeah, you like the flip?
So I can go, Scotty, beam me up. Ha, ha, ha.
You're a douche.
And you can hang up on people angrily by slamming it shut.
I'm always afraid I'm going to break the thing, so I feel if it's covered, it's like a shell. You know what I mean? It's like a closed book. I won't stain the pages. You know what I mean? It's hard to explain.
You're a dick.
Yeah, but it's @ Johnny O Comedian. That's J-O-H-N-N-Y-O Comedian.
Yeah.
On Twitter. Follow.
Wow.
What does it say underneath? Does it have like a...
Parsippany.
This is Parsippany. Roz, what you need to do is put underneath it somewhere his mantra. And we all know what it is. Okay? Get his face... I mean, she probably just made it a little while ago. Get his dumb face on there so people recognize it and his mantra underneath it. Yeah. And start building a fucking Twitter. I'm telling you, Twitter is the way to build a fan base.
What's his name? Dane Cook. Was that Twitter or was that?
He was.
That was MySpace originally.
MySpace.
Yeah. And he made a lot of money.
It's the only reason he made a lot of money.
He made a
lot
of money.
He was the first on MySpace to network with.
Right. Yeah.
bunch it's of a great teenage thing to do. College girls that had no idea what comedy is. But anyway.
Speaking of famous, I was discussing this with Joe before the show. I never understood the wanting of autographs or pictures with famous people that you're not a fan of.
Yeah, just because they're famous.
Yeah,
right?
I never got that.
No.
Unless, like you said, unless, you know, and this is why a lot of baseball players are hesitant to just sign autographs, because there are dickheads that just want to do it just to sell it.
Right.
Flip it on eBay.
But when you see like a 10-year-old kid and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
But
right.
I just never got, like Jim Norton, who is a great comic and, you know, he's on the Opie and Anthony show. He is obsessed with getting autographs and pictures. And I've heard his collection is ridiculous. He's got thousands upon thousands. Mm-hmm. And I'm using his as an example.
No, but I think he is he knows who these people are and appreciates them. I don't think he's I don't know. Maybe he's getting just.
No, he, like.
There are some.
Like, you know, they'll be in the studio when somebody will come through.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, he will get somebody. Don't get me wrong. He does get people who he's a fan of, like UFC guys, comedians, actors who he's a fan of. But, like, you know, he would get Justin Bieber just because he's Justin Bieber.
Right. Yeah.
You know, if they're famous, he wants a picture / autograph. And this isn't me making fun of Jim Norton. That's just his thing.
No, I know.
But I never. And what's ironic is that Jim Norton is a famous person now. And he, you know, like, he goes to people like, oh, can I get your autograph? And he gets that not as much as somebody who's like, you know, an Uber star. But he gets people that do that. So I'm sure he's very cordial to people when they ask him for an autograph. But it's just a weird thing. Like, if I saw a baseball player that I liked, or, you know, somebody, you're like, holy shit, you watch, you know, you've seen their movies, but like some pop star. If I saw Katy Perry, I'd want to see her tits, but I wouldn't care. And it's not, I'm not trying to cool.
But you know what? Doesn't it get you excited if you know that someone else is a huge fan and you respect their opinion? So even though you don't have a clue, because I did the Brother Wee show and I met, it was Asia, the supergroup Asia, but it was Palmer from Emerson, Lake and Palmer, Carl Palmer, and the guy from Yes, but I didn't know who the hell they were, but I knew Palmer from, it's from Emerson, Lake and Palmer. There's only three guys,
right?
So I thought, you know what, my brother said he was a good drummer, so I got a picture with them,
okay,
and I showed it to my brother. But the thing was, I only did it because my brother was, it was like, you know, that's Buddy Rich, you know what I mean? It was like I knew in. I just didn't
think. But there's a connection.
Yeah,
there is a connection.
But I was just to impress. I think, but in the deep down, I was trying to impress my brother.
Okay.
That I met
him.
That's
okay, but that's different, though.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, I can understand. And the other thing I never understood is, like, Bill Russell, the basketball player, won't sign an autograph, but he'll shake my hand, and if you want to have a picture with me. Which makes more sense, because what's more valuable, having a picture with a celebrity or having the autograph? Because the autograph sometimes on a napkin and it's wrinkled, you know what I mean? I'd rather have the picture, wouldn't you?
Unless it's
by far,
unless it's a true icon that you couldn't get their picture.
Oh, sure.
But yeah, picture, you know, it conjures up a memory, and you could say, oh, that was that night that I met this person.
But if you had an interaction with them, too, and then with the picture, you can prove it. If you're both smiling, you know, the guy's not trying to kill you in the picture.
Right,
you know?
Right, yeah.
But if it's an autograph, all you're doing is showing the scribble that the guy wrote, and then you got to go, oh, we were talking for hours, you know? It's like, right, you know, and then at the end, you know, we bonded, and then he signed my, you know.
It is a weird thing. Like I said, autograph, picture, totally understand it. If it's somebody that you know, respect or kind of like. Or, like, you know, like, if it was a president, whether you like the president or not, you'd be like, holy shit, that's a president. You
or
know what
somewhat
I mean?
Of an idol to you. Or,
there has to be, for me, somebody that I have some sort of reverence for, where I would look at them and go, like, wow, you know, like I was making an excuse, you know, Justin Bieber. It's like, look, I'm not going to smash Justin Bieber. I don't even know his music, but I could care less.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't understand that aspect of it. Unless there's just something to that whole celebrity thing that we've gotten to a point now where everything is about being a celebrity, you know, because of, you know, the zillion channels and everybody wants to be famous, but nobody, you know, I forget. Somebody said that. There was an
Nobody
actor.
Wants to pay their dues. And yeah,
there
yeah.
was an actor, and he was a pretty famous actor, and somebody, a young girl or young people, came up to him and said, hey, you know what? We definitely want to be famous. And he goes, well, you know, what do you guys want to do? And they were like, we don't know.
Yeah, that's
They were like, wait a minute. You want to be famous, but you don't know how, you know? Yeah, so
how about when Kanye was like, it's a disgrace that they're not giving Kim a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
I wonder
how
much
Kanye
When
you look at the Hollywood
Walk
of Fame, it's either a film, TV, radio, or recording. Those are the things that you make it, and they show it. They have a little thing. It'll be like a film camera or of it, you know. Mm-hmm. What the hell would she be? TV?
Unfortunately, TV.
Christ.
Because of some horrendous, conjured-up reality show. Kanye West is a weird dude because face value, I look at Kanye West, it's like, dude, you're just like, stop. He's that comic who has to constantly tell everybody how great he is.
Yeah.
It's like, dude.
Yeah.
I don't even know
he's
much of
He's got low
shit.
Self-esteem. I don't care what anybody says.
He's got to. He's absolutely. Got,
everybody thinks he's got high self-esteem.
I think
what
it's
he
a
really
complete
does
opposite.
Is he's always got to put that
he's
out there.
Always
how
trying
he's
to prove
genius.
Himself.
I'm a genius because he's got low self-esteem. Yeah. Basically because his mom picked the wrong doctor to get the lips deflated.
Oh, is that the... that was the one whose mom who died under... getting not even like surgery, like a major thing. It was... Yeah. It was cosmetic, right?
Cosmetic.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that sucks, but I...
But her ass looked great after.
Yeah, I don't know. Kanye's a weird
Fuck
one.
Fuck Kanye West.
Yeah, it's almost like I think part of me thinks that everything he's doing is a plan. Like, he's making an ass...
Yeah, but it's just... I don't get it. It's like
publicity,
His first big hit, if you want to call it a hit, was called Through the Wire. Through the Wire. All he did was he took the Chaka Khan song, Through the Fire.
That's a Muslim
and
deal.
He rapped on it with his mouth frozen shut because he broke his jaw. I don't understand. It's like how low do you have to go?
Well, you know, I mean, that's the basis. I will say, I heard a song he did called Diamonds Are a Girl's
Best Friend.
I'm
sure he's got some talent.
And I thought it was pretty cool the way he did it.
No, but it's great. My whole point is, it's a talent to be able to cherry pick what song you want to rip
and
off.
Tweak,
you know what I'm saying?
And tweak it up and make
and
it
tweak
into
it
yours.
Up, yeah.
But the thing is, these other guys don't go around saying that they're geniuses.
Yeah. I think
you know what I mean?
Think Streetwise. I think I don't care how much money he makes. Jay-Z, I think, gets the street cred. Nas, I know, gets the street cred.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Kanye is on his way toward Michael Jackson land. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because you know he's with what's her name. So it's almost looking at it like you're sold out. You went to Hollywood.
Yeah.
Although Jay-Z did the same thing. But there's something to the fact of, hey, you know what? You just stop telling everybody. I call it Big Dick Syndrome. And we know, we fucking see these comics all the time who have to brag. Yeah. And we discuss
I just got
lot.
Back from performing for the troops. Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
exactly.
you.
Stop telling everybody how great you are. Stop telling people how funny you are.
It was
Let
the
people
Weeblos
tell you that.
Troop 51.
Let people tell you. So Kanye, if he would just let people say, hey, you know what, I think you're great, I think you're fantastic, but he's got a little bit of, like you said, some self-esteem issues.
Why is there music playing?
Because we're done.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is the ending music.
I thought you were going to play some Kanye rap right now or something.
No, we're finished, dude.
This is the wrap-up music.
This is the wrap-up music. So let me just get this out of the way. I want to thank Johnny O, of course, for coming out.
Thank you.
Thank you, man. And your new Twitter account is Johnny O Comedian, right?
That's right.
Johnny O Comedian on Twitter.
Unbelievable. I didn't even know.
Cousin Joe, your Twitter is at Joe Coletta, 1L2Ts.
Thank you.
And your show is the Cousin Joe Show, which is on Thursday nights on More Like Radio.
7 to 10, you'll be on this week.
I'll be on this week,
yeah. Looking forward to it.
And
Let Joe pick out the topics to talk about, especially with food.
Our Twitter account for the show is at CNK Show. Mine is at Joe Conti Comic. Kenny's is at Kenny Michaels 5. And like our Facebook page and subscribe to the show's podcast. The show, the regular show on ContiandKenny.com or iTunes or More Like Radio. Or get the Conti and Kenny shorts, which Johnny O is on like two of them. The Conti and Kenny shorts, we have 8 of them so far. Go to ContiandKenny.com or go to iTunes. And let me see. Oh, yeah, some of the friends of the show. JJComedy.com. Some great comedy shows. This Friday night, Nick DiPaolo is going to be at the Comedy Shop in Parsippany, New Jersey. Go to JJComedy.com. Go to life-forever.com. That's our pal DeChrome's website for his comic book series. Also, Dave Cyrus, GodHatesBrickStone.com.
New documentary coming soon.
New documentary called ArchieBlackMovie.com. And also our pal from MetalAsylum.net. Go to that website if you want to check out some interviews and music of modern and also old school metal. Right. And some podcasts that we are friends with. Metal Breakfast Radio. Checked out their show with Donovan and Dave. Unlearn-TV, which is called Unlearn with Rich and Tony.
Rich Woods.
Rich Woods, man. Go to unlearn.tv. They're on Tuesday nights from 7 to 9. No, 7 to 8, actually. Then there's the Joe Fernandez podcast. The I Don't Know Joe show.
Love that podcast.
Yep, joefernandez.net. There's the It's All About Me podcast with Holly and Rorschach.
Howl's in Seattle.
Yeah,
awesome.
Then there's my friend Benny Michaels, who does the Pod Cheese podcast. Pretty cool show, and he's a good dude. And then also, of course, your show, The Cousin Joe Show.
As we mentioned, yes.
Yes,
we did. And next Monday, when you listen to the Conti and Kenny show, just go to ContiandKenny.com from 7 to 10. Make it easy on yourself.
You know what?
ContiandKenny.com.
Yeah. So basically, if you miss some of the show, we will be broadcasting from 7 to 10 still.
No, make them switch between 8. Listen to the one at 7 to 9, and then switch,
make them
over,
switch over from 9 to 10.
And then buy a plantain, find a flat girl.
All right. We're out of here. Thanks for checking us out. Go to ContiandKenny.com for all of your needs.
Can they get these stickers somehow?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Mm, I like this one.
Yeah, I'll give you a couple. I got some. Ooh. And get your Conti and Kenny stickers. Email us at ContiandKenny@AOL.com. All right, we're out of here. We'll see you guys next week. Kenny will be in studio. Bye.
See you next week.